Welcome to episode 43 of Mise on Minis. I'm your host.
Musing and Amusing.
I'm your host. What?
My world is upside down.
This is Keith.
Chad.
Josh.
Crump.
And this is Fat Asian, and I play Conversion to Cirrus.
Well done.
I'm in.
Me too.
All in.
So, yeah. We
all
have...
All about the COC.
The clocks.
Yes, the clocks. Clocks.
He gargled his microphone when he said that.
I love the...
Rah, rah.
We need to be on topic. We need to be on topic right
now. Off topic.
Stay
awesome.
On target.
Oh, man. Speaking of that, that awesome post that CG made for me where he had the Porkins from Star Wars.
That was pretty excellent.
That was excellent.
Oh, man.
I just want everyone out there to know that this crew is extremely professional because not only was the previous sound studio, which was tragically destroyed, very professional, but this backup studio that John has procured is also extremely professional. It might actually be more professional than the previous sound studio.
It is carpeted.
It is carpeted.
Which absorbs the sound.
You cannot make fun of my mother-in-law's basement.
It has like 70s wallpaper, which is nice. It gives me a very like studio.
Is this 70s or is this 60s?
Maybe yeah. 60s.
I don't hear the rattling of an old water heater that's about to burn the house
exactly.
down.
Exactly.
We should have done this entire
exactly.
episode.
My favorite thing is the old-timey radio.
What? No, it's not old-timey. Oh, it actually has a CD thing in it.
Don't, oh, it's a trap.
Yeah,
don't dispel the illusion.
I'm sorry.
They had CDs.
Compact.
They had CDs back then, right?
I feel like...
The 6-foot-tall plasma, or the 6-foot-tall LED TV kind of dispels the illusion pretty thoroughly.
John told all of us that he was going to pay us $3 to talk into a can.
I don't get it.
We got a feller who plays the guitar pretty good.
Sold his soul.
Let's go whitewash some fences, too.
That I could probably get done. No, this is really going to be really fun, I promise.
Okay. Well, for news and announcements tonight, not a whole lot. It's been a light news week. A couple things, though.
Well, especially compared to the last week.
I think I want to start out with WTC.
Okay.
That's cool. World Team Championship, Team USA nominations are going on now. And after this podcast drops on Friday, you will only have Saturday and Sunday, and I think maybe Monday, to self-nominate. So
where
if you're
I
with...
What? Sorry.
Really?
Sorry.
That's all right. If you're hearing this and you're thinking about signing up, you need to figure out if you can afford to, both time-wise and monetarily, and then get signed up so you can be considered because the committee is not going to waste a lot of time. Once nominations close on February 25th, we're going to have the team done, I think, by February 28th.
John, if I wanted to sign up, where would I do that?
You would do it at the Muse on Minis forums, museonminis.com/forums, plural. And there's a whole section, WTC. So a place where you can self-nominate. You can see other people that have self-nominated. There's a lot of nice resumes there. It's really coming along pretty well, so I'm pretty excited. Regardless of who ends up on the team, it looks like it's going to be a pretty strong team. So,
agreed.
USA.
I'll be
USA.
Going.
USA.
You have to self-nominate.
I'm having a hard time deciding whether I should self-nominate or not, and it's not because I'm nervous about like my qualifications or anything like that. Like I really don't care if I get, you know, if I get chosen or not. Like I'm sure, I'm sure that whoever gets chosen is going to be, you know, excellent. It's just that money investment.
Yeah, it's a lot of cash. Now, I will say we're going to try and fundraise.
Wait, what day is it on? Or when is it? When's the actual?
October.
Like,
is there a pro tour going
15th, 16th?
On?
In October?
It's in Rocktober.
At that.
In Belgium?
Yeah, I was going to just try to crush a magic.
Oh, man, this is in Belgium? Whoever goes has to bring me back beer.
You could go.
Is there a ghost in our sound studio?
I'll put my name in the hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could. I would enjoy talking about you.
Yeah. I know you do.
You know, Maxon, he's actually a really incredible War Machine player and a pretty decent guy when he's not drinking. But holy crap, you got to keep the bottle away from him.
Don't think we can let him loose in Europe.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What? No, we're not going to Amsterdam, right? All right, sweet. Anyway.
Hostile to hostile to hostile.
Nothing is far in Europe. I mean, yeah, relatively, like, it's close. It's closer to go anywhere in Europe than it is for us to go to Texas, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Probably like a 3-hour train ride, maybe.
So, beer and maybe something else bring me back.
Yes, pictures of you and the hookers, I guess, anyway.
Anyway, WTC, exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm actually insanely jealous because I would like to go over and do that. I think that would be a really cool experience. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think actually I 100% agree with your guys' decisions to keep the judges out of the – or not the judges, but the –
The committee deciders out of the, yeah.
Yeah, and I agree. I think the committee is, you know, pretty much as good a committee as you could possibly come up with for that kind of thing.
Yeah, except for the fat Asian guy that's on the committee.
Who is on the committee?
It is Andrew Hacksaw, who runs Gen Con and TempleCon.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows a lot about the East Coast. Gail Martindale, who runs Kingdom Con and the so-called SmackDown. So she knows a lot about the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Travis Marg, who's Dark Legacy on the forums. He runs Adepticon, and he helps out a ton at Gen Con. So he's very involved there. So he gets Gen Con and Adepticon.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Carl, who runs War Machine Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And because of his work with the Invitational, he ends up working with a lot of venues and seeing a lot of really good players coming
from. High-class players.
Yeah. And then there's me. And I think my job is to be the figurehead. So that's what I do.
How many people are signed up for the Mayhem Cup right now?
96 are signed up. Actually, I think 97 are signed up, last I looked.
Do you know how that compares to the War Machine Weekend numbers?
War Machine Weekend was like 250.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel like you at least... That spot's not wasted on you, I feel.
I know a lot of the good players, so I definitely have input. And
it is too bad, though, because I do feel like you'd be a really good addition to the team.
I'd be a good mascot.
Maybe not even for your playing skills, but your ability to metagame. And I don't mean that in a negative way. Because the WTC, the format has a lot to do with putting up your team versus their team,
yeah,
in specific order and specific matchups and everything like that.
Is that the ghost of the water eater?
Yeah, it is windy as heck outside.
Yeah, we are hearing a ghost right now. It's kind of
it was a little eerie.
Yeah,
but so what was I saying? The format it has to do with, you know, you putting up your specific members of your team versus specific members of their team. Like, that's where I feel like you would excel.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at matchup analysis. I'm awesome. I'm undefeated in the dojo, except for by Nigel Brooks. He beat me once. We went 100 rounds, and he got me.
How did he do that?
We went 100 rounds?
Yeah.
That's deep. That's going deep.
It was a 100-round dojo, but he got me. Yeah, we were so in the dojo. It was great. And he was pulling out KC Fever moves on me. And I was like, I can't compete.
When you get every model in the game. A dojo advantage.
Iron Gauntlet.
In other news, we've got some blurbs for some upcoming models / units.
Tactical Arcanist Corps.
Mercenaries, the Tactical Arcanist Corps Rulic unit.
FA2? Did I see that? FA2?
There's no way. They're probably FA3.
No, they're FA2.
They're FA3
if you're Seer Forge. Unit, and it's going to be so bad.
Wait,
so,
was this what we were
I'm
talking about last
for
time?
For it to be really bad.
Wait. So were these the dwarf mages we were talking
yes.
about?
Yes.
Yeah. Listen and learn. The Tactical Arcanist Corps always work in threes. They undergo training and drilling together until they can meet and even exceed
that's pretty homoerotic,
the exact the exacting standards imposed by the brand of Ordoom for Rule's elite battle mages. They defend those that they are contracted to protect with scorching salvos of arcane fire, incinerating those that challenge them.
Ooh.
They're
going to have ashes to ashes.
I want them to have, like, focus booster or whatnot, or power booster, but they're totally just going to be I don't know. They're going to cast Molten Metal. It's going to be a unit. And that's actually what people on the Merc Forums want, which is blowing my mind. Wait. It's just going to be three guys that have, like, magic 6 Molten Metal, and no. It's going to be terrible.
And they're going to be okay.
Def 11, armor 16 with 5 boxes.
Wait, is it
Def 10.
And they're going to be Battle Wizards, but they're going to be speed 4 with no reach.
Something like that. I actually initially thought they'd just be magic ability 6, rock hammer, Def 10. Armor 16.
Just like really crappy rune shapers.
Yeah.
Isn't Molten Metal like really good against Colossals? If you
nope.
want to theoretically.
No, nope, because I actually checked the rules on that, and Molten Metal only affects the side that you're attacking. Because otherwise, Gorton would be exceptional.
Actually, it's still pretty good.
It'd still be 18 damage
it's good.
If you cast it once with each guy.
Yeah. So if you had 2 units of those, that's 36 damage.
It's like half a Colossal.
If you had 3 units of those.
Your
speed 4, def 10, armor 16 models only have to get within 10 inches of that Colossal, so that's no problem. Let's Molten Metal that son of a gun into the ground.
Well, they'll probably have innumerous defensive abilities.
If you put them with Gorton, they'll be immune to blast damage.
That's true. And if you
could redline,
which is really really good on arm 16 models that probably have defensive line.
They probably don't have defensive line.
If anything, I'm guessing that they have confluence.
That's what I was thinking, because they said they always work in threes kind of a thing.
It's the thing that the Pharaoh Bone Grinders have, that Rune Shapers used to have in Mark 1, where you get +1 to your magic rolls if you're within an inch of another model in a unit.
So maybe they do cast like a decent spell once.
So like the thing is, on the pigs, only one model in the unit can cast spells. Yeah. But like in Mark 1, Rune Shapers had that ability. They could all cast spells. So if they were all within an inch of, you know, every other member of the unit, they all went up to magic 9.
Interesting.
You know, and then because they all get to benefit from it. So it's just that with the Bone Grinders, only the leader gets to cast the spell.
Right.
Sure does sound like they only have one spell, though.
No, there's no way they only have one spell. They'll have 2 spells.
No.
One of them will be bad, but they'll have 2
spells. The only thing Privateer Press hates worse than Rhett.
Is dwarves. That's true.
It does sound like they only have one spell, and that is there's, like, numerous precedent for that, you know?
I really wanted them to be
Battle Mages, Rune Shapers.
Have tune-up.
Druids.
No,
Druids have a bunch of spells.
Druids have 3.
They have a bunch of spells.
Did you really think they were going to put tune-up on?
There's so many things they could put on them that would be awesome. Like if they had Power Booster, that would be incredible. Like,
Power Booster would be insane.
Power Booster.
Even if it was just Power Booster for Rulik Jacks, it would still be really
Power Booster for Gun Bunnies.
Yeah, exactly.
3 times.
Yeah.
Well,
not okay.
Yeah, it's not okay. I mean, you can't do it on the same, but you could have. You
it's
know,
fine.
You never take just one gun bunny. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Blister does come with 2.
But yeah, like I was hoping they would have like Power Booster and Rock Hammer or something like that. But
the Tactical Arcanist core unit comes in a blister, PIP 41102.
Really?
Or Magic 7 sprays would be nice too.
Tactical Arcanist core units.
Keep dreaming, man.
Yeah.
In a Signar Kador or Mercenary army.
They're going to be so bad.
I know they're going to be bad.
They don't work for Protectorate. We got the other dwarves. We got the Forge Guard.
Did you get the high shields?
No.
Wait, protect?
We only accept good dwarves. Into the Protectorate. So, yeah, you guys are boned.
Don't work for Protectorate? Oh, yeah, it's Kador and Crick. Or Kador and Signar, right?
Yeah, they're available for both Highborn
and Four-Star. Yeah.
Yeah, but if they worked for Protectorate, you'd know that they would be good. Because we don't let them in unless they pull their weight.
Yeah.
Or have big, unless they cause things to explode.
E.g. Crow's Cutthroats.
There's actually a reasonable chance. There's a reasonable chance that the unit will somehow give magic weapons. Since that's like.
That would solve a lot of dwarf problems.
Yeah, it'd solve a lot of dwarf problems, and it's not like particularly overpowered.
It doesn't give magic weapons. They have bolts. They just kill the incorporeal stuff.
That's certainly possible.
Because I guarantee you they don't have the same spell that currently exists for granting magic weapons.
No, I agree with that, yeah. It's an elf spell, yeah.
We covered that ground last week, I think.
No, it's got ashes to ashes. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm sure they all cast ashes to ashes.
Magic ability 2. Here it goes.
Except you know what is a great model to target it, even if you're magic ability 2, Forge Guard.
Colossals also. Any choose your Colossal.
Boom. Are there any magic ability 5 models currently?
Magic 5?
Yeah.
No.
All right, well, these will be the first.
Wait. Aren't those new guys, Magic 5, the new Cav Wizard
dudes? Oh, they're new.
They're 6.
Six
is the low, and the highest I've seen is 8, right?
Eight is the highest.
Alexia and
Alexia and Ayana
are eights. Janessa.
Isn't the actual Bone Grinder guy Magic 5?
Because why not for Janessa?
I mean, she's got everything else.
She's not good enough. I mean, she needs that Magic 8 otherwise. She's just not worth it.
Right, because she casts all those offensive spells.
Yeah.
Ever.
Forever.
Isn't the Druid Overseer Magic 8?
Is that the UA for the Druids? The He's an 8.
I think those are all 4 8s in the game. As far as magic ability, I don't think there's a fifth.
Unless there's one in Crix, but.
No, there isn't.
Yeah.
Protectorate. Exemplar Bastion Seneschal Solo.
Woohoo! Oh, sorry.
Boo. Such is the power of the faith in an Exemplar Bastion Seneschal.
You could buy one and start your Protectorate army, John.
That his presence allows brother bastions to endure impossible punishment while firmly holding the line against the creator's enemies.
Oh my god, he gives them the defensive line?
Exemplar Bastion Seneschals are uniquely entrusted with the command of the Protectorate's warjacks in support of their fellow Exemplar Knights, joining the power of those machines to the Bastion's unbreakable will.
If they give Bastion's defensive line, oh my god.
Much the opposite of the Tactical Arcanist Corps, I don't see a way that this guy could possibly be bad.
Right.
with that fluff blurb, yeah. I just don't.
It sounds like defensive line, right?
Maybe they will misprint the cards and put the Tactical Arcanist Corps' abilities on the Bastion Seneschal, and the Bastion Seneschal's abilities on the Tactical Arcanist Corps.
Firmly holding the line. Maybe that just means that they have immovable, which I would actually prefer to
defensive could be.
Line.
Yeah.
No, wait, I think they're going to have defensive
doesn't
line.
The fluff board make it seem like they're unkillable, not unmovable?
Oh, yeah, so they're going to have greater destiny for a turn? That would make people really happy.
No.
Allows other Bastions to endure impossible punishment.
Well, he's a solo, so it's not going to be a mini feat.
Maybe he gives him tough.
So it's not going to be like Iron Zeal.
I think he's going to grant them defensive line.
I could live with tough.
Defensive line.
Of course you could live with tough. You have a stupid blood witch hag.
Also, tough on that unit's not that
good. It's actually not that good.
Yeah.
No.
It's something that they can kind of already do anyway with Rupert. The only reason it's good is if you load 7 damage up on a guy that you think is going to take a bunch and then... Oh, that guy took 16. He's already up to 7. Oh, let's just make a tough check, I guess.
Bastions, if you play them right, are already impossible to deal with. I mean, they're not impossible, but they're just really, really annoying.
We don't know what he's going to do, but it sounds like...
Maybe he himself just has 10 health and they can transfer damage off to him.
That's another very possible thing. I mean, because that would actually fit a lot in with the fluff of the other Seneschals, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, the Errant Seneschal can sack Ponda. Errants, or not, call the sacrifice or whatever.
Errants and Bastions sort of have different mechanics, though.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like it.
I like it. I love Bastions.
I don't like it.
Does the Exemplar Seneschal interact with the unit in any way anymore?
Gives them Hunter. Oh, the Knight.
No, the Knight. No, he does not.
No.
No, he's just a stud.
I know that in Mark 1 it was like, for every Knight, or for every Knight Exemplar that died, he got plus stats permanently.
Boop!
No, he just gets temporarily angry.
Yeah,
now.
He gets plus your strength and arm per round.
Okay, yeah.
When any living dies. Same thing the Fane Knight does.
I gotcha.
Gets mad and murders things.
Yeah, so he becomes a Mat 8, POW 13 Weapon Master.
Yep.
With 3 initials.
Yep.
Mat 8? No, he's already Mat 8, isn't he?
That's what I mean. He gets plus your strength and armor.
Oh, right.
yeah. He's a pretty good package. And then he never dies. I mean, he does, but...
Yeah, those things are so freaking annoying.
He's awesome in scenario. You're just like, yeah, that guy's there. Have fun rooting... Oh, you can't.
The Exemplar Bastion Seneschal comes in a blister. PIP 32090. A player may field up to 2 Exemplar Bastion Seneschals for each Warcaster in a Protectorate army.
I'm in. If it brings Bastions back, I love playing... Man. Oh, man. That guy is going to slide right into my...
Why is it a Bastion High Reclaimer list? Seneschal and not a Senerator Seneschal?
Because Bastions are underplayed.
If it does have 10 HP and it can Sanguine Bond, and you can take 2 of them.
Yeah, the Bastion unit
I'm guessing it'll be 3 points. Yeah, Bastion unit just got... Well, I mean, because they already have 40 HP. That'd double their HP.
Yeah, I doubt it does that. I think the blurb would have been more talking about like sacrificing himself if that were the case.
Right.
I still think it's defensive line.
How do you feel about Jack Marshalling?
I think that's really cool for Protectorate.
It's not okay.
Yeah,
I don't think it's.
I agree.
Repenters.
As opposed to Crix, where Jack Marshall couldn't have been more irrelevant.
Right.
It's kind of a problem.
That theme force is legit.
Well, yeah, and they had to discount every single Warjack.
What specifically are you going to Jack Marshall? I'm thinking Repenter's obviously.
Repenter's an obvious choice. Sanctifier is an interesting choice.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good one,
yeah,
actually.
Reclaimers make anything possible. I mean, there's... It depends if he has, like, a decent... Like, if he has Drive Off-Road, which I can't really see fitting fluff-wise. Mm-hmm.
Right. It's just sort of, just something you want.
Sort of a wet dream of mine. So
you get Drive Reroll, and you'll like it.
I would be happy... I honestly would be happy with... I would be happy with Drive Reroll.
I mean, the thing is that there's no such thing as a bad drive, right? Yeah, like, there just
it's
isn't.
A bonus.
Do you have any Jack Marshalls?
No.
There's a difference between not having any bad drives and not being worth Jack Marshalling.
As long as you don't get Pronto. But no Pronto. Jacks,
because they don't have to be in a battle group to benefit from the choir.
Right. Yeah.
So
right.
There's just no way that a Jack Marshall in that faction is going to be bad.
What about
no, it's going to be good.
And then it sounds like it's got amazing extra abilities too.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to get a pseudo-focus out of it. Like a free focus,
yeah,
which by itself is really good in Protectorate. Because anytime...
And you have multiple ways of... Well, not multiple, but you have ways of granting focus to Warjacks, you know, via Reclaimers.
I actually
I
like
mean,
this.
The guy himself is going to be at least 10-17 with 8 boxes and a Power 12 Mat 8 Weapon Master.
Yep.
Blessed.
Yeah, he's going to tear stuff up.
Super solo.
Yep. I do really like that. They're what appear to be coming out with Jack Marshalls for Menoth, because the last set of Menoth releases, even even in Colossals, they seem to be giving Menoth a lot of releases that are making their not quote unquote competitive casters more viable, like the focus starved ones more viable. So the Sanctifier, when that guy came out, I was excited to see a lot of. Like, Focus 5 and Focus 6 casters starting to see more play, but Menoth players apparently don't like to change their ways. So, like, I was expecting to see Testament or the Fioras or Vindictus, for example.
God, if I played Protectorate, I would probably play the heck out of Testament.
That seems so fun.
And High Reclaimer, both of them.
The more I play Legion, the more I miss Menoth. Danny Modesto and I were talking today because he's done the same switch that I have and switched to Legion. So, like, everybody's playing Legion. Like, Jamie Perkins is playing Legion.
Boo.
Will Pagani's playing Legion. I'm playing Legion. Like, it's retarded.
I'm playing Legion.
I have no idea because we all want to be like JVM.
play Trolls.
They just roll with the bandwagon. You know how it goes.
Hold on.
B-man.
Let me finish. We were talking. We're both. I'm like,
B-man.
Hey, Danny, do you complain about dice more when you're playing Legion? Then he goes, yeah, it's terrible, right? Because you play beast heavy, so a lot of your attack rolls are really important because you have to get a lot out of them.
And you're mat 6.
And you're mat 6. And so you're just like, oh my god, this is terrible.
Yeah, so take more infantry. Horrible.
It's terrible on a war beast.
It's really hard going from mat 8 to mat 6.
Thank god the Mountain King's not mat 6.
See, yeah, that's true. Mat 5 is probably better than mat 6 because you're always going to boost, whereas mat 6 you're like, nah, I can roll this.
That's
good logic, Crump.
I don't know about that, but all right.
It's true. You can never hit unboosted sixes.
That's really funny, though. Do you complain about dice more now that you're playing Legion?
Yeah, it's true. And I do. Like, dice bother me way more than when I'm playing Menoth.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
All of your
if you don't have +2/+2, dice are harder.
All of your best roll dice. Yeah.
All of your best dice moments were when you were playing Legion. That's where the Dave Bainthrall...
Yeah, exactly.
What?
Just all my stories about dice revolve around me playing Legion.
There was a game where Dave was tabling him, and it was mostly due to Dave's dice. And there were just all sorts of crazy things were happening where, like, a Bainthrall would walk up to Absalonia and just hit her.
No, Bethane.
Yeah, Bethane.
Def 17.
And just hit her.
Rolling 11 like a boss.
And then did, you know, 10 or something damage. And, He charged one of John's. This is in the end game, and he charged one of John's Scythians or Ravagors.
Scythian
with 2 Bainthralls, and after the second Bainthrall attacked, he's like, "How much? You know, he's like, you know, this much damage." And John marks it down, and he doesn't. You know, he's like, "It's not dead yet." He's like, "How much HP does that guy have left?" And Dave's John's like, "Dave, this is a heavy freaking war beast. You charged it with 2 Bainthralls." I know that you're used to those guys blowing up whatever they touched, but this is a heavy war beast. That was so epic.
That was pretty epic. And he was like, oh, okay. He was confused.
Yeah. He didn't get it.
No, I don't think he did.
The best thing was after we went home that night on our local forums. Someone was asking how that game turned out. You know, they had to leave before the end of it or whatever. They're just like, hey, how'd that game turn out? And Dave just posted a picture of two dice, like, burning. That's it. He didn't say anything else.
He does love trolling me about that stuff. I actually don't. I don't take high variance very well. I just don't.
Good thing he doesn't play Magic.
True.
I that's why I quit Magic.
That was your...
Menoth was a very, very good faction
for the
no,
week.
It just is in general. Yep. And I'm hoping...
That's the quota.
I'm hoping Convergence is similarly good faction for me.
They're not going to have Choir.
Seems like they have the potential for it.
They have guys that have Mat 7 base that are just be like, okay, my Jacks are all Mat 7. I can make that work.
I can't wait to play them and who's the boss.
I can't wait until John finds out that Mat 7 is not as good when you're not also Rat 7.
Yep.
Mat no, 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 no. Seven,
and that your blast two. Damage is not minimum POW 9.
The Circle of Arboros. Tharn Blood Pack Circle Unit.
No, I don't care.
Ranging far ahead of a main body of attackers. Tharn Blood Pack move through the densest, thickest thickets with speed and agility surprising for such hulking warriors. With massive bows, they loose arrows that could be mistaken for small javelins, before closing, with frightening speed, 6, to slaughter their prey. The Tharn Blood Pack come in a box, PIP 72076. A player may field up to 2 Tharn Blood Pack units in a circle army.
Thunder strike or thunderbolt on their bows?
No.
They sound like they're guys that shoot bows.
Yeah, with advanced deploy.
But they are massive bows.
Massive bows.
So maybe POW 13.
Yeah, they might have the, like, similar to the bolt thrower.
With the pushback?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, some kind of pushback. Like, thunderbolt, right? Isn't that the gunmage? Thunderbolt.
Maybe they've got a crit, the thing that the Impaler has.
Crit slam.
Crit smite. Yeah. Or smite. Yeah, maybe.
It could be.
They're probably going to be POW 13, I'm guessing. And just from, you know, experience on multi-wound units that have POW 13 guns, they're probably not going to be that good.
Mm.
Until they come out with a solo that gives them prey.
Are they supposed to be better than sluggers anyway? But
the question is, are they supposed to be completely ranged, or will they be combined?
No, before
arms?
They close with frightening speed.
Yeah, so they're definitely going to be some kind of combined arms.
So it sounds like assault and battery. Yeah.
Assault and battery is what I was thinking.
Assault and battery would be amazing.
It's a good order.
I had to giggle.
Especially if they're tree walkers like regular Ravagers.
Which it sounds like they probably are.
Bobbliness was making me laugh in the thread, because he's like, I don't think I'd really like Assault and Battery. I'm like, do you know what it does?
Yeah, he wanted Bushwhack.
Yeah.
And then people explained the difference between Bushwhack and Assault and Battery. And he was like, yeah, Assault and Battery.
After just like Assault and Battery, you get to run away.
Yeah, it's just strictly better Bushwhack.
Strictly you also have the option to charge, which sometimes is...
Right, exactly.
Also amazing.
I mean, if it sounds like if they're as combined arms as their fluffy thingy.
Yeah. Probably something like that.
I'm interested.
The Wolves of Ouroboros pierce the thickest armor.
They do. When they're doing a 10-man CMA.
Under power swell. And
that's how I killed Butcher one game.
That's how you were going to kill Butcher one game.
Yeah, it would have happened if it weren't for Dice Down. Where my opponent's like, I don't understand how you were possibly going to beat me. Like, I had this game locked up. I was like, I was going to do a 10-man CMA with wolves until the butcher was dead.
A CMA or a CRA?
CMA.
Wolves
because he's a medium-based, and they're ranked attacks, and I was regrowing them with more mana to
have 10
on
them. Butcher literally couldn't kill enough of them.
Right, because, when he starts spending focus,
then it makes him more
he dies faster.
Yeah.
I don't know, it was pretty funny.
So,
Actually, I've got a thought. You know how we have Rinth, like, fact check us all the time.
Uh-huh.
We need to have Colin fact check Crump, because like every podcast for like the last 3 podcasts, I've gotten a PM from Colin just basically about how Crump has completely exaggerated a story in some way.
It's because they're better when they're exaggerated. What did I exaggerate last time?
I have
story
no
is made for TV.
Yeah,
it was something he posted about it on the forums.
Based on real life story.
You know what would be kind of interesting?
Names have been changed to protect the innocent.
I doubt that they're going to do this, but it'd be kind of cool if they had Assault and Battery and Quick Work.
Yes.
It would be like shoot, charge, shoot.
I can't see that happening.
I'm in.
I can't.
That might, I doubt it. I highly doubt it.
That might
funny.
Actually be what's required to make a medium base heavy infantry like ranged unit good.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's the volume of attacks.
They do have to kill like at least
the
two things.
The worst spears have
turn.
Gotten to be pretty good with their.
Yeah, I guess I haven't played against them since the UA came out, so I don't.
Well, it's only a two point UA.
Yeah, I can't. What does he do for him again?
Everything forever.
He gives them prey.
Oh well, that's good enough.
And another body.
Yeah, like, yeah. Prey is good enough.
And relentless charge.
Right.
Oh man, that's actually really good.
Yeah. Really, really good.
Yeah, and I paid 3 points for my Skinwalker UA.
Yeah, but he gives them additional attacks. We just get prey. Plus two is clearly overrated.
This guy, I tell you.
Yeah. Anywho.
All right, so.
That was long.
Yeah, we made that. We certainly
stretched
that out.
That out.
Good
announcements,
job.
Upcoming events,
whoa,
the Mayhem
whoa, whoa, Cup. Whoa, whoa, we don't hate Rhett that much.
I do.
Oh, yeah, there's another blurb.
Mage Hunter.
I suppose.
Oh.
Infiltrators.
Bum, bum, bum.
Give me a moment.
I got it.
Goggle elves.
I totally forgot about those guys.
I have the fluff blurb right here.
Those guys actually are pretty sweet looking, though.
Yeah. They're ninjas.
I don't see ninjas.
Right. Mage Hunter infiltrators specialize in hunting and killing enemy arcanists.
You're not doing it right.
At home in any environment. They take advantage of their surroundings to close on their target incisors.
It's really not working for me now.
Their blade slicing through arcane words with practiced ease. From out of the darkness they strike, quickly and efficiently, dispatching those.
The line out of the darkness they strike was in there and he botched it. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going for speed, Keith, not Batman voice. Dispatching those whose very existence threatens Skyra. Skyra? Skyrim?
Nailed it.
I'm not going to lie. When I looked at the 3D rotation
of this... You know what the problem with that
group
is you make Keith sound competent.
Doesn't this look...
That really bothers me.
I looked at the 3D rotation. This literally looks like a convergence model.
I don't agree with that.
What? It's all robot.
It's because they've painted it. All
look at this.
Screwy.
It's all robot.
It's none robot. It's cloth. It's all cloth.
Yeah, that looks like leather.
And
he's
goggles.
He's got the goggles.
Robot goggles.
The goggles make him look like he came out of Dishonored.
So the good news is for Rhett players is they finally have an answer to stealth.
It's swords.
Yeah, they're going to stab people.
Right? Interesting. I like this thought. They have
stealth and arcane assassin, and that's it.
Actually, I think they have prowl. Because they take advantage of their surroundings to close in on their target in silence.
Yeah, but they emerge from the darkness.
So, yeah, they probably have shadow play, like I was saying to Chad earlier.
Oh, like the Bloodrunners have?
Yep.
Well, that could actually be kind of interesting.
That'd be pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. My thought on them is just that they're a melee unit with two attacks, so they're probably good.
I would agree with that.
No, wait, they're not.
Most melee units with two attacks are pretty solid.
Yeah.
They're not going to have shadow play.
Why?
They have two attacks.
Oh, they might. So they could actually get use out of it.
Yeah.
Plus, it's a 10-man unit compared to, like,
don't the Bloodrunners have two attacks, or do they only have one?
No, they only have one.
Oh.
I thought they had two, and Colin was like, no, they only have one. And I looked at it again, and I was like, why don't they have two?
So I'm thinking Blood Witches that cost two more points.
I sadly agree.
That would be perfectly fine, I think.
Well, let's be honest. They are going to be Arcane Assassins. You do pay a premium for that.
Blood Witches that cost the correct amount. Is that what you were suggesting?
That ability is straight retarded.
Like, good?
It's really good.
It's really good. And they give it out like candy. They're just
to everyone in red, anyway.
Well, I know. But, yeah. I mean, it's like candy for red.
Yeah, but it's like, yeah.
Could they stop giving away Mage Hunter Assassin stuff and just start coming up with...
Like, stuff that's not Mage Hunter Assassins?
Yeah.
Like, is literally like every member of the Retribution a Mage Hunter Assassin? Like, there's no other class that they take when they're rolling up their characters. Like,
let's see, I'm going to be on Iosin I'm locked into Mage Hunter. That should be a thing in the RPG.
Yeah.
When you choose Iosin, you should just auto-lock into Mage Hunter every time.
It actually is pretty much true.
All the random bartenders like in Elven Nation are just
like they also actually
able to kill you.
Yeah, they throw a beer bottle at you and it ignores your overboosted power.
Well, I mean, the Retribution does represent the most like hardcore of the people that believe that all magic in the world is what's killing their gods.
Sure, but you don't need 50% of your army's units like dedicated to killing one model on the table.
Apparently they think you do.
Like it's a shtick and it's getting old. That's what I would say.
I would say that clearly Privateer Press loves Retribution.
Yeah, they give them ninjas.
Yeah,
ninjas.
they give them Arcane Assassin out the wazoo. They love them.
And lots of Armor 11.
Yep.
For which I say, hooray. Although if they have stealth, that's a problem.
They at least have prowl. At least have prowl.
Instead of Rhett complaining about stealth, everyone's going to start complaining about the stealth that Rhett has.
Rhett's like, I can't beat my Retribution matchup. Too much stuff.
Why are these specifically a problem if they have stealth?
It'd be their biggest. I suppose the Mage Hunter Strike Force has stealth already.
Yeah, they do.
And I mean that having infantry models with stealth, and then they've got a fair amount of anti-blast tech, and that gives them the ability to just sort of like kind of unshootable.
But they are going to close.
What do they have besides Discordia?
Artificers. Yeah, that guy is right. Really Hulkans. Bad, though, because these guys will have ambush, and he cannot ambush with them.
Right. I did read in several places that the Artificers were bad, and I must say, much like Nail being bad, I wholeheartedly agree. You're right. Retribution players.
Never played those guys.
Actually, yeah. Speaking as a Protectorate of Menoth players, I 100% agree. Hulkans is terrible and you should never take him.
Artificers and Nail. Awful. I mean, Nail, it's just like playing Russian roulette. Like a 25% chance of shooting yourself in the face when you play that guy.
I wholeheartedly agree. I don't think people should take that guy. I especially hate it when he engages my Creelstone.
It is the worst thing ever. Remember that bit we used to do, like...
God, that is so retarded.
It's literally the worst thing ever.
The guy's just like, guys, somebody get him off me. No, don't kill him, though. Pick him up and throw him over there.
No, you have to kill the Creelstone bear. Promote him to someone else that can run away. He just runs away, I guess, and provokes a free strike.
Yeah.
So it's...
Yeah, that guy's just straight bad. Just letting you know.
Awful.
This is one of those times where we haven't done this bit for a while, so people probably don't realize.
No, don't tell them.
No.
Let them remain ignorant, because they legitimately... Someone told me my list was bad because it had Nail in it.
If you think Nail is bad, it's because you haven't seen somebody abuse Nail. He's almost always worth 2 points, and sometimes he's worth like 10.
I mean, I haven't played against him, but he's probably a finesse piece, right? Like, you're not... It's going to take some work to get that value out of him. So just like if you haven't been playing with him, it'd probably take a few games to get the hang of it, right? Like you're not going to get it the first time out
of the box. It's a special case with Nail because he's one of those rare finesse models that if you play him badly, it's not just that you lose him and he does nothing and oh well. If you play him badly, there's special corner case situations where he can actually
hurt you. Yeah.
Right,
because
if Maul goads off of him, you're just like, whoop, here we go again.
Yeah,
I'm more Fury, let's go.
But all of the situations,
not okay.
But, and the thing is, if you listen to the forums, the situations happen in every single game that Nail exists in. But the truth is that, you know, real people who have brains and are able to think rationally and aren't idiots will not. It's just like, if you see a Warbeast over there and you know that this thing can happen, why would you put a model in such, but you know,
it's not like models and people are like, well, he just gets thrown at your caster and your caster then gets murdered because they have no focus and you're like, why did you put him close enough to get thrown? Like,
right, you have him running up the side of the table.
Throw distances are horrifically predictable. It's like, well, it's the speed on that warjack 5, you say, all right, so I will leave him 6 inches away.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Like,
not only that, but then your caster's got to be within what, like 6 inches too.
Yeah,
all have to just be chilling next to each other.
You choose where Nail goes.
Yeah,
you know, if you're worried about him tagging your own stuff, you don't put him near the stuff.
Well, what's going to happen is he's going to get seduced.
Yeah.
And then he's going to turn around and walk somewhere else, really bad for you. And then he's going
to
get picked up.
Don't put him next to the seduction model. You choose where he goes.
How could you possibly remember all these things, Chad? There's just too many ways which Nail can screw you.
Anyway,
obviously.
Like I don't want to be condescending about it. Like Nail,
I guess I can.
Really?
No, it's just sorry, Rhett players. I don't think you're all idiots.
No, there's a lot of really Rhett players out there. It's just Nail is one of those pieces that, as Maxon put it, is a finesse piece, and if you've seen it used well, you're like, holy crap, that's like, in this situation, that's like a 10-point piece.
Yeah.
It's almost always worth 2, and sometimes it's ridiculous.
I think I figured out the Rhett dojo. All the stuff in Rhett, like I was talking with a few people about this, and they're like, everything in Rhett looks amazing in dojo. Like, all this stuff is good, and you put it in the list, and it just never plays out how you think it is.
So you should take all the things in Rhett that look terrible and put them on the table. They'll probably be amazing. Like Nail. Because that guy on paper looks like crap.
Well, to be fair, I agree with how people came to that conclusion. Because I used to think of that about Nail, too. I was like, oh, man, like he's just bad.
He's just free fury management.
Yeah, he's free fury management. Like, yeah. I loved seeing that guy on the table. And then until I, you know, went to Madison.
And watched the gym plan.
Heard Jim talking about it. And all the stuff that he's, like, he's never done it to me. But I just heard him, like, talking about some of the stuff he's done to other people. And I was just like, wow, I don't want...
There was a game I had with Jim where Nail took up 5 minutes of my turn trying to figure out how to deal with him.
That's not uncommon because you're like, well, I'll just kill him with no, and then I lose all the focus on this Warjack. Well, I'll just do no, then my caster's a little too close. Well, I'll just do no, then Ayana can't cast spells.
No, it's true because
five minutes out of your turn is huge.
Yeah,
for
no,
one
it took me 5 minutes to figure out how to dig out of Nail being in the middle of everything. And, like, I couldn't just kill him because then I had to allocate focus to my jacks. And so it was like, well.
I mean, the model, he's speed 7.
Yep.
He's effectively immune to free strikes because when he's taking a free strike, the Retribution player usually has a look on their face like, you want to take a free strike?
That look being a huge smirk and eyes wide.
Like, if you take a free strike right here, your caster loses all your focus, like, and I've got some invictors left to activate.
It's like free striking the keg carrier in Mach 1. Yeah. Want to free strike this guy? No? You sure?
All right, well, then he's going to run, and then he's engaged, and he's got reach, and he's mat, like, 7 and power 12. So he's engaging.
And I'm pretty sure his free strikes hurt, too.
Yeah.
No, he's power 13.
Power 13.
He's probably an
Arcane Assassin. His free strikes sting a bit.
He's probably an Arcane Assassin.
With reach, he does not have Arcane Assassin.
What?
He's a soulless, not a mage hunter, apparently.
Right.
Right. He must feel so.
I'm sure they'll rat it.
That's why he's a soulless.
He just ends up in a place where he's engaging a lot of things that you care about, and you're like, and trying to dig him out is just like, it's an exercise in, well, what do you want to give up this turn?
It's like a puzzle.
He was engaging the Redeemer.
And if you're going against the Horde's army, that could potentially take advantage of him. He's 2 points of your army. It's not going to hurt you that bad to leave him back.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you should leave him back anyway for late game, because he came in late game and engaged a Redeemer and a Vassal, and I was like, well, I'll just activate the Vassal first. Then I, well, crap. And if the Redeemer's engaged. And I guess I could just take a free strike, but I really needed to aim with him. I'm like, well, this is really annoying. Well, this guy, well, I can't, well. You know, and you're like, well, and then you're like, well, wait a minute. If that bubble goes off, then this Vassal's not going to be able to enliven that Jack over my avatar. Well, that doesn't seem ideal. You know, like you're like, oh, gosh.
How do you even, like, what did you do?
I don't remember.
He's like, well, I guess
you eventually just bite the bullet, I'm guessing. And you're just like, ah.
I think eventually I did everything else first, and then the Redeemer just boosted to hit, boosted damage on a punch on Nail at the end of the turn. Just basically, like, I lost an activation of Redeemer that would have killed a bunch of stuff. But I spent, like, 5 minutes trying to figure out how to, and I couldn't get him to where I could use him for what I needed to use him for. So I was like, all right, well, this is clearly terrible. And I also didn't want to take the POW 13 free strike. Because
that hurts.
Yeah,
he's like that, right? That's like right at that threshold where you're just like, it's dangerous to a lot of stuff, but it's not.
You take an arm off a Redeemer in a New York minute with that free strike, and I was just like, yeah, I know.
Just punch him.
Yeah, well, and that no spell barrier is like strangely relevant too, because you're just like all your vassals are suddenly shut off within what's it like 9 inches of him or something?
8.
Yeah.
Yeah. A long ways. Anyway, that was
huge tangent.
I don't like
an awesome one though.
I do not like reliving those memories because Jim has abused me in a lot of ways.
Where did Nail touch you, John?
Yeah.
Yep. Show me on the doll where Nail touched you.
There was a time I played Jim and he had a forest in the middle of the table that was literally 13 inches across.
It was
like
10 inches across.
It was like 50 inches.
But then there was also a Veil of Mist.
It was actually on the other table.
It was over a foot across.
It was this big.
Chad, back me up. It was over.
I played on that table. It was pretty big.
It was at least a foot across.
It was pretty big.
It was like 5 inches.
And then he put a 4-inch Veil of Mist on the side of it, so then it became like a minimum of 14 inches going by Keith's story across, and it was the worst thing ever. Anyway,
worse sorry. Than your house burning down?
Actually, no, but thanks for reminding me. You know, I was starting to forget about that pain. But, I can count on you to keep me grounded, Keith, because, you know, God forbid I feel good about myself for a little bit.
Indeed. All right. So, topics for this evening. Where did we want to start? Steamroller 2013.
All right, let's start. Hour in.
It is a brave new world.
It's only 45
A whole minutes. New world.
I said a brave new world.
Yeah, I said a whole new world.
Uh-huh. So.
So, much like we've done in the past, I think we're going to try and go through each of the individual scenarios, right? And I don't think we've done one yet this year, have we?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, we were planning on doing one, but.
So we will start with scenario number one, destruction. We talked about. We may have talked about destruction a little bit, or at least how we've played it when we did our Detroit reports. It's very, very different from destructions in the past. This is not the ranged army paradise that it used to be at all.
No.
I find this scenario very difficult, actually.
Does this one have a kill box?
Let me run through it.
It does.
And then we can talk about it. In the center of the board, there is a 12 by 6 inch rectangle. On each corner, arrayed horizontally, in each corner of those rectangle, there is an objective. The objectives are monoliths. They have armor 20 and 15 health boxes. Anytime a monolith is damaged, all of the others become immune to damage. Anytime a friendly monolith, I think is the errata, is damaged, all others are...
No, it only lasts for one turn.
They're in pairs. Oh, they changed it to turn.
If another monolith is damaged, this model cannot be targeted or cannot be damaged for one turn.
They got rid of the this acid bomb corrosion.
No, because that corrosion would still screw it over. So there's an errata that it's it only affects. I forget how they fixed it. It's fixed anyway.
That's screwy.
Yeah, there's something goofy with it. But anyway, anytime the effect is that you can only kill one a turn. That's the goal of it. You can only damage one of them each turn.
Don't start out doing damage to one and then think you're going to kill the other one because that does not work.
Yeah. So the and then there is Artifice Kill Box.
And two of them are friendly to you,
two of them
enemy.
Are friendly faction, and two of them are enemy models.
Correct. How do we score?
1 point for the destruction of each monolith, 1 point for controlling the zone, and 2 points for dominating the zone. The zone cannot be dominated nor controlled until both of the enemy monoliths are dead.
So...
You do not get a control point for destroying a friendly faction monolith, correct?
Right.
I wanted to run this scenario in that 2013 tournament that I ran. However, it requires 4 large bases per table. So I don't think this thing is hardly ever going to see any tournament scenario play. Because that is so many objective markers.
I would be okay if this
think about
a
it.
Little tournament play. I don't like this scenario.
If you have 20 tables, that's 80 objective markers.
Well, Mayhem Cup is only going to have 48 tables.
So don't we have...
If nobody else signs up.
Do we have 160?
Somebody kill me. Oh, my God.
Do we have 160 objective markers?
No, we don't.
So you will not see that scenario.
I may get some. When I can have people bring them, too.
I don't know. When I saw the packet, I was just like... Yeah, this scenario is never going to get... Just as a TO, you're like, nope.
I've seen it plenty, actually, already.
Yeah.
In Detroit, at TempleCon. Mm. Like, the cons have enough. They will play whatever scenarios they want.
So it's not like you need a full-fledged objective marker, you know, like a Litco base or a large base or something will do.
Yeah, a lot of people will pull out from their own collection of Litcos and just toss them down and use them.
I mean, I've got, like, 20 large bases just myself or something.
Yeah. So... When I played this scenario, the first thing that I remember thinking was, these objectives are in the way.
Hugely in the way.
Mm-hmm. They really. If you're playing an all melee army, you're just like, oh my god, would you please kill your objective so I can get through here?
That's one thing I've actually noticed in a lot of the scenarios. They're more simplified than they were in previous years, but there's also more objectives and more flags and more things than there used to be. So a lot of times, it's like. They intensify the terrain on a board just by being there. Like you've got like a house and then there's this large base and you're like, oh, that made kind of an ugly corridor.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that.
Wait, real quick, you can't the ruling for targeting them. So if I hit one and damage it. I can't damage any other ones for the rest of that turn. Can I still target them?
Yes.
Because it just says can't be damaged.
Yep. Then there's like this giant corridor in the middle of the table where Hellmouth just becomes like
this model
straight money.
Hellmouth is straight money anyway.
Yeah, that spell
but now there's
ridiculous.
Two objectives in the middle of the table that
four.
I get to target.
Four. There's four.
Four objectives that I get. Oh my god.
Literally, I think the entire zone is.
Yeah, you could Hellmouth anything in the danger. Zone.
Maybe one
yeah.
guy in the middle.
Yeah, I think there's like maybe strip in the middle or something like that.
Maybe.
So, yeah, Cassius double Hellmouth seems pretty good in this.
Also, Cassius fucking loves Killbox.
Right.
Ruh-roh.
you just put him behind your magic monkey. You're fine.
Mm-hmm.
He makes what? Forests. And his tree. He's fine.
No, you can leave the tree out of the Killbox.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, he's not your Warcaster. He's an attached. He's
oh,
like.
Oh, is that how that works?
Yeah, it's like the little chick that comes with. Core Shade.
It's not like the Witch Coven who can killbox themselves three times or whatever.
No, because they are actually Warcaster. Each one is a Warcaster. The
and they actually
just,
can't do that. They change. It's like one or four Warcasters.
Oh, they yeah. changed it?
They cannot dominate nor multiple. They cannot multiple killbox themselves multiple times nor dominate multiple times in the.
No, but that would be broken. The tree is a character solo. He's not actually.
Okay, yeah, then he's probably fine.
Yeah. Because in previous
I was just thinking if that tree has to be that far up the table, you're screwed.
Right.
Buddy.
In well, previous killbox
Cassius
games.
Cassius will be up there, though.
Yeah, that's fine. He's usually pretty far up there.
Yeah, he's like defense 16, armor 16. He's fine.
He's pretty good. He's pretty good defensive stats.
He's a like good for the tree.
I like always put that guy.
Oh, man.
So as far as playing to win this scenario, I mean, it's got, at best, a three-turn scoring pattern to win. Destroy one, destroy another, control or dominate, and then if you dominated, you can just control. If you control, you have to dominate the next
That's
turn.
Four.
Three.
The same turn you destroy the second one.
Yes.
Or control.
You said the thing that you noticed was that those objectives get in the way. The thing that I noticed when I played it was that I didn't have... There's frequently a ton of turns. It's just there were so many turns where I could either go after the objectives... Or I could kill really threatening enemy models.
Mm.
And that's just a no-brainer choice most of the time, it seems like. Unless you think Dice Down is coming in, which is a weird sort of situation that you're putting yourself in.
Well, actually, I think it's...
Because
one thing I was going to say about this is it's really hard to score the zone.
Yep.
But you can score it. So I think the trick to winning this on scenario is to be the first to destroy both your objectives... And then if you're able to push past your objectives and into their objectives and kill them and sort of move the line of engagement.
To the back of the zone.
To the back of the zone or so you're sort of fighting. They're fighting in, to get into the zone and you're fighting sort of past the zone. You can actually score the zone that way. And if you kill your objectives right away, you threaten that. And you sort of force them to overcommit.
When you say kill your objectives, you mean kill the enemy objectives?
Yeah. Kill the objectives that you're targeting. Yeah, the enemy.
Yeah, jam past seems like the only real win strategy for this one.
It's also important to sort of get up early. I feel like because this one's going to often go to dice down.
Mm-hmm. I got four scenario points with Borka on this one with yeah. family reunion. So yeah, jam is definitely very very viable on this scenario.
Yeah, it's a Borka. Dream to play this scenario.
Yeah, it's pretty good for him.
I mean, Borka just wants to mosh up in the middle, right? So,
mm-hmm.
And that's all this scenario does.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, as a merc player, I find this scenario to be a nightmare. Like, it's just like destroying arm 20, 15 box. Like,
seems like Gordon would
only
want
to put anything in the middle of the table.
He can't score unless he destroys the monoliths. So I have to devote my jacks to destroying the monoliths.
I feel like Gorton would be pretty good in that scenario.
Shay's fine, too, because he jams past like a monster. Yeah. And then his jack, I mean, at that point, he's just playing for a scenario. And
yeah, Shay actually is legitimate because the cannon and his jacks are usually following up behind as well. Like, that's fine.
I wouldn't put the cannon in the objectives very rarely, but Ayana plus a nomad gets the job done just fine.
Sure. But that's kind of the point, is like a merc list... has very few models, typically, that can handle an ARM 20, 15 box
model. Well, they've got their galleon, and then... That's all you need.
So you're using your galleon's turn to destroy an objective instead of taking out your opponent's heavies. Like, that's like you were talking about. Like, anytime you go to kill a monolith, and you're actually a merc player has to devote a really key heavy piece to take out a monolith.
That can be. I mean, they are basically half of a warjack to kill. Half of a heavy warjack to kill. Yep. So it's not an inconsiderate amount of resources spent to do it, unless you're Krix. Like, I just sort of kill them in passing as I'm moving forward when
it's
I'm
also,
playing Krix. But
yeah, that's how the family reunion did it, is because I had so many champions, and they're so slow that it was just... There were a couple of turns, basically, where it was just like, well, these champions can't really do anything but charge that, so they might as well.
Yeah.
But when I was playing... The first time I played it with a Calandra list against Josh... And it got down to the end of the game, and pretty much all we had left, you know, was just I was just like whittling his army down until it was basically like he had nothing left, and I had a couple of models left, and neither of us had touched the objectives, just because every turn it was this decision of, well, I could kill the objective and start scoring, or I could kill those steelhead cav, which are going to murder me next turn if I don't, you know, and that's just I have to kill those cav, like there's no choice. So it was really hard.
Like, admittedly, we weren't playing time turns in that game, and obviously time turns and or, you know, anything that has, like, dice down, like a tournament setting, like, that's gonna change the math at some point.
It influences it a little bit.
Yeah. I don't think they're as hard to kill as you seem to think they are.
I've been trying. Like, it's not that they're impossible to kill. It's that they require the investment of a significant resource on your side.
Like, three or four Nists charging it.
Or three Nists charging it won't kill it. You're talking about pound 9 weapon masters, so they're dice off 11. So you're talking about 9 damage on it. It's got 15 boxes.
It's actually, because of the way they do close to 4 apiece.
Sure. Then so it's 12 damage on it. Still doesn't kill it.
I said 3 or 4. It depends if you spike a roll or whatever. But
you could CRA into it a couple of turns
before. Right. You could do a few points ahead of time. But it just doesn't seem like... You know, like, chaos is the same way.
The point that he's making right. is if you're CRing the Nis Hunters into it, that's 10 points of your army that you're not killing enemy models.
So, you know I'm how you talk about...
I'm just saying, like, just random steelheads charging it will wear it down over time.
Yeah, I think that you could probably make an argument for that.
I'm just saying it only has 15 boxes. It's right. not like...
They're armor 20 in the scenario.
Yes, armor 20, 15 boxes.
But then, you know. Is not
right. Hard. Like, anything... My point isn't that I can't kill them. The point is that whenever I go to kill them, it requires enough of my resources that... You know how you talk about you like to use your feats to set up the attrition war, right?
Yeah.
Where you're just like, I'll take out 10 to 15 points of your models.
Josh, I completely understand. Okay. Like, I've been playing attrition forever.
Yeah.
I'm just saying an arm 20, 15 boxes is not as hard to kill as you're making it sound.
It's like killing a battle engine.
Yeah. It's less than killing most of the battle engines.
Yeah, it's definitely harder to kill pretty much any warjack in the game than this objective.
Or any warjack.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that statement, except for Ruthenante, because he dies super fast. But.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, you don't have to devote your one heavy to it. You can just take some infantry that weren't going to do anything terribly effective anyway and charge it with it, and, like, it's going to go down.
If the battle lines are where they should be for you to win the scenario, you're going to have the stuff that doesn't have... Because it's a rare turn when you can put 100% of your army into theirs.
Exactly.
So there's going to be some leftovers.
No, I agree.
You probably
but
have available.
If you're drawing... Like, you were also talking about how the objectives get in the way. If you're drawing your battle line... Like, at the back of the zone, where, like, you can get to your objectives. Like, only so much of your army is engaged. Some of your army is engaging them, and then you have to have models that can then engage the monoliths through the models that you're using to jam and engage them. Like, they're, like, the zone is small enough that it kind of becomes a cluster.
It
like,
does.
All around those monoliths.
That's definitely true.
Yeah, I say, the winning strategy is push past.
Yes.
And then...
If you can.
And push past. If your army can't push past, the rest of the discussion is irrelevant. Because if you're ending up fighting in the zone, you're going to grind each other's armies down to the point where you're unable to kill the objectives.
Or...
I've watched that happen a couple times.
Get really good at determining when dice down is about to be called,
and
then
and
just
kill one
right before.
Right.
Yes. When dice down is going to be called in 2 minutes, I have a feeling... Everything kill that objective.
Well,
okay, you go.
Here's the deal, though.
I like
to kill my objectives early in this particular scenario because then you threaten to score the zone.
Yeah, then you. Well,
whereas
then they're getting you're forcing them to get desperate, basically.
Right. Whereas if both objectives are up, my opponents, I can evacuate the zone if I have to, and just not take it in the face because I don't have to contest it.
I've done that. Yeah. If both my objectives are still living, I'm not even in there.
That's a really good point. Like, because when in the Detroit tournament we played, I mean, I got 4 points in that scenario with Borka, but I was getting points way ahead of Jake in that game, and I should have just evacuated the zone. I should have just run away, and then I would have won that game because he would have been, you know, at least 3 turns before he could equal me in points.
Yeah.
And that's assuming he is getting through the champions and getting through everything, you know. So, yeah, it's definitely – that's a very good point. Like, all you need to do is kill one or two and then
– Like I said, I like to I this goes against most of how I play normally, but I will – I found myself actually sacrificing attrition to get up on scenario in this one so that I can threaten scoring.
It's a consideration to make because it forces that desperation play. Mm-hmm. Anytime you can force your opponents onto their back feet is worth some of your attrition tempo because the tempo you gain is so important. And tempo oftentimes is greater than, well, it equals board position later.
Yeah.
Does the Aratus.
We should talk about tempo sometime, like really yeah. define it and everything. That's a really interesting topic, actually. I've written a couple of articles about it.
Yep.
on my defunct blog, but anyway.
You know, you could write for Muse. We have this website.
I could.
Maybe you've heard of it.
It's kind of a big deal.
It's a big deal and it's meta. Always looking for more writers anyway. That's an aside.
Does the errata still allow for the monoliths to be TK'd?
No, no placing.
Okay.
That would be silly.
That's good.
I'm just going to have wet dreams thinking about this with Cassius.
Crumb's just like, I don't care about the scenario. I just want to use the objectives to abuse even
if it's, even if it's just the worst possible matchup for Cassius ever. Like, if it's Epic Loth, I'm just like, in. Let's do it. This is going to be awesome.
No, because she has to put stuff in the zone.
Actually, that's not very good because she doesn't have any infantry. But, well.
Hellmouthy and Ravagor is forward.
Why don't you come a little closer?
Oh, man. You've got creepy pedophile down.
What?
You should be the Pope.
He meant to say, why don't you come a little closer?
You can use both lines in that. I didn't think I'd have to use this.
You're very lucky.
That's what I say when I fail to kill one.
Star Fox jokes.
It's been too long.
It has been a while
since we've made some Star Fox
jokes. I do kind of want to go back to Cassius so I can make all the Darth Vader quotes again.
Yeah.
And all the sweet. Yeah.
How many Darth Vader quotes did you make?
Well, he's got Stranglehold.
We were talking about it. And so I was coming up with that.
I find your lack of faith.
Yeah, just like ones like that. Disturbing. And when I failed.
Work on your Darth Vader.
when I missed the Stranglehold or failed to break armor, I could just be like, the Force is strong with this one. And then try again and succeed and be like, I have you now.
Just, I have you now.
Just keep going.
No. So yeah, I think
that'd be sweet.
Your options in there's actually a couple different options in this scenario which I like. You can sacrifice to break them early if you've got the follow up, but you do have to gauge fairly carefully what you are giving away.
Yep.
Alternatively, if you can push past and make the engagement line behind the zone itself, and then you can use your back lines of your army to clean up objectives over, and that gives you more time.
It also puts an insane amount of pressure on your opponent.
Yeah. At that point, I mean, if you can accomplish that, you've basically already won. If you can set an engagement line outside of the zone and destroy one objective, you're very far ahead, unless you're getting crushed in attrition.
That feels like it's very difficult to do. Like, I've tried to do it a couple times.
Pirates and Satixis can run to that point on turn one.
Sure. If you get the first turn, sure.
Yeah, I don't really see...
It's like a Boomhallers.
Yeah.
No. Infantry machine is dead.
Right.
Oh, Chili. He said such cute things.
Chili say the darndest things.
What were you saying?
I don't know.
You have no idea.
I got sidetracked.
All right, do we want to do one more?
That was pretty quick.
Yeah, it was pretty quick. Also, I would like to keep this podcast to be less than 3 hours.
I agree.
I concur. Well,
then we should probably not do one more because how much other stuff do we have to talk about?
Not very much.
We're only an hour in.
Come back to it.
We're only an hour in. Feels like it's been so long.
It was 45 minutes of Tactical Arcanus Core and 15 minutes of Steamroller Advice.
Let's go back to the Tactical Arcanus.
I agree.
They're going to be so bad.
But here's why I think they could be good.
Supply and demand.
You're so hopeful. It's so cute.
I am so hopeful. And it's not because I want to play Searforge. I'm just so hopeful that like they do something.
That there's another dwarf unit that doesn't suck donkey balls.
Stay another on target.
I didn't literally mean let's go back to
stay.
Oh, right.
Well, Josh, you and I could go back.
We could.
So, scenario two is indeed Supply and demand.
I played this today.
Which one?
It is another kill box scenario. In the center of the board, you will find a 12-inch diameter circle. Set very near to the circle, 18 inches up and 18 inches in from the left-hand side of the board, as you look at it, will be frags? No, objectives.
Wait.
Objectives. So about 2 inches out from the zone, which is a 12-inch diameter circle.
Which is in the dead center, right?
Which is in the dead center. There are two objectives. That sit on your side and on one on your opponent's side.
Can I just say something about Steamroller this year? I love that they decided to make all the circles the same size.
And all the zones
and
the
all
same
of the
size.
Rectangles the same size.
It wasn't that way before.
No. You had to have like 50 different marker sets. It was miserable.
Well, it sounds like they made a good decision.
Yeah, I have a bunch of 8-inch templates.
Circles that you can't use ever again?
No,
until they changed until SR 2014.
Yeah.
So,
I guess
the objectives in this are 15, 15.
They are very easy to kill. They are 15 armor, 15 boxes,
and they give you like a 2-inch free charge.
Free charges thing.
And but you can't dominate the zone as long as your opponent's objective is alive.
Yes and no.
Is there a place you can stand without
enemy
it being
warlocks,
in your
absolutely.
Control zone?
Enemy warcasters, warlocks cannot dominate the zone while this model is within their control area.
Yeah. And it's a 12-inch.
So like 10-inch control area.
Huge advantage.
Warcasters
okay,
can
yeah,
do it.
Yes.
Advantage, Gorton.
I mean, yes. Gorton actually, I think, loves the scenario just in general. But...
Fives and sixes can control it, no problem.
Yep.
Without.
Yeah, it'd be a seven.
Yeah. Gorton can actually pretty easily.
I actually think there might be a sliver where a seven can get away with it.
I think I measured it. At the last tournament that I ran.
I thought we measured it and there was a sliver, but maybe not.
It feels like sevens shouldn't be able to get away with it. And
how
like
far up
or
we need to really clarify that, though, because it's really confusing.
I'll do it right now. Circle's very middle of the table.
Yep.
12-inch.
12 inches. And
then the bases are...
Oh, I thought he was going to clarify it.
No, he's doing the math.
He's doing the math.
Yeah. And then our...
They're 18-18.
So basically, when...
So you got to get into the millimeters and then the diagonal.
But yeah, then
the
you've
table.
Got a large base.
Yeah,
when you're... Your opponent's objective is in your control
right.
area.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Then you can't dominate.
You cannot dominate the zone. So if you poke your toe into the zone and you have a 14-inch control area, you pretty much are within... You're
within the range of your opponent's...
Your opponent's
objective
is in your control.
Area, yes.
Which is why a Focus 6...
Like, there's some places you can dance around there, but...
Yeah, Focus 6 can all day...
Because it's a 12-inch zone.
Right.
So. As long as you're towed in.
The remainder of the scenario, you get 1 point for destroying your opponent's objective. Wait. Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
1 point for dominating the zone.
No, 1 point,
one point for controlling the zone. 2 points for dominating the zone.
5 to win.
And you also get 2 points for dominating the enemy objective, if that ever.
That's never going to happen. Unless you're Terminus.
Yeah, and then there's Killbox.
And then, yes, indeed, Killbox.
That's something I want to talk about after we do this scenario, actually. It's the new Killbox rules. Are pretty sweet.
I like them.
Yeah, that's actually definitely a discussion.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, no. Okay, that rule prevents that from happening. Check. Unless you somehow got your Warcaster with a 0 in.
Should we get privy to the information that's going on up here?
Oh, I was just thinking that...
Keyword is thinking.
Your that
comes
had,
across with the podcast
that it had
really
a
well.
Potential Indeed. one turn win scenario, but it, for multiple reasons it doesn't, because there are two things that you can dominate very close together. But obviously, if you were dominating
one
your opponent's objective, it's probably in your control area at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the mysterious focus point .5 caster.
Unless
you got withered,
withered
twice, and you were Fury 5.
Wither Gorton.
No, then it's still there.
Anything's possible.
Control area, and you have to be in
two inches.
To
damn it.
2 inches to dominate.
Has to be so, focus .5.
Yeah.
In a team game, yeah, I think withering is the only thing that reduces focus, right?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. All right, so this scenario is. It's a little less scoreable than destruction, only because the zone is larger. And it extends closer.
Away from the court.
And it extends much closer towards the deployment zones because of the circular nature of the zone. Like the leading edge is only a couple inches outside of the player 2's AD line. So contesting the zone. I mean, the battle takes place in the zone. It's a centrally focused scenario, which is common in the environment. But
so again, depending on how things are going. Yeah, maybe not. I was going to say killing.
I think it's a strong strategy if you can to protect your objective and kill your opponents.
Yeah.
And dirtle for time.
I'm excited about playing Gordon in this scenario. Really excited about playing Gordon in this scenario.
Just dominating your own objective over and over.
No, you don't. You can't dominate your own objective. But, like, he can get up and dominate. He'll push you out of the zone. He can dominate the zone while your objective's still alive and then just block you from getting back in the zone, and that's 4 points. Then if he manages to destroy your 15-15 objective, that's it. That's game.
Yeah, I mean, there are this, because it is a one zone scenario, there are casters in it that are particularly frightening. Denegra, right. Haley, Gorton, Kruger.
I played
the usual suspects.
Yeah, we played Denegra 2 weeks ago. Or you played Denegra against Michael Andra, and that was definitely another man, this caster is good in scenario moment.
Yeah.
I played. The reason why Incubi are good.
Because they don't get shadowbound? What?
Yeah. So you get to, like, get back into the zone with stuff.
Yeah.
You can't be locked out of the zone.
Oh, easily. Incubi. I thought you meant Forsaken.
No, Incubi.
Gotcha. Yes. That is another reason why Incubi are good.
Sorry.
And Burrowers.
Just dreaming about my Arias list again.
Alexia and the Risen.
Yeah.
Look at this guy doing his napkin math over here.
It's impressive. Amazing.
You've got a beautiful mind.
Yeah. Love that movie.
Oh, man. Russell Crowe is such a douche, too. It's perfect.
I've been thinking on your... It took me a second.
That's a good one. I like it. Bro fist.
Boom.
Is that all we have to say about this scenario?
Let's how often? How often do you? How often do you think you'll make use of the free charge?
Not very often.
You have
do
to.
You look? Do you look to set those sorts of things up? Sometimes?
I would.
Corner case. You know what's good for though? Colossals and Gargantuans.
Yeah. I would look to set those up.
Mine doesn't ever charge. It just walks and shoots.
Play a
things.
Melee one then.
You have to dominate it, and then the model has to be within 2 inches of the objective to get a free charge out of it. Right?
Yeah. So I would definitely put the avatar 2 inches in front of the objective.
Yeah.
And then, like,
the caster 2 inches behind.
Yeah, the caster dominating it so that I. Because a free charge with the avatar is about the most delicious thing ever.
I miss it when you didn't play that thing.
I know. I don't. Oh, man. I need to learn how to use Enliven again, though. Last time I played with him, I was like, oh, look, just kill my avatar. I'm like, oh, I can't believe how bad I've gotten.
And gaze and...
Yeah.
Gaze.
The gaze of Menoth.
This scenario, I mean, it just doesn't seem like there's a whole lot to it, I guess, is the problem.
No, there's not. It's one of those scenarios where you can't afford to killbox yourself because you probably just lost.
Right. Yeah, I mean...
Oh, yeah, we were going to talk about killbox, too, yeah. Right?
Any of the scenarios where you put yourself... killbox now doesn't kill your caster. It gives your opponent 2 points. And I would say in almost any of the scenarios where there are destructible objectives that also have killbox, it's something you can't afford because the objectives are so easy to destroy if that's your goal that you've basically given away...
Giving a free dominate up is big.
You've given away everything except... One, they have to score a zone once. That's the whole game. Like, you've lost if they can score a zone once.
Yep.
Probably dominate, but that's easy with running casters. Like, so it's just killboxing yourself in a lot of these scenarios is the kiss of death. Unless you're so far ahead on attrition that unless you've set the battle line in such a way that they can't get into the zone. But then the question is, why are you killboxing yourself? And there's a very limited number of reasons why you might be. Like, you're playing Epic Denegra against Siege or something like that.
Or you forgot it was killbox. That's the number one reason why you're killboxing yourself.
Well, right. I meant intentionally. Yeah. Why you would intentionally killbox yourself.
Actually, is there a reason why you would intentionally killbox yourself? I suppose to stop you from dying.
Yeah, you're playing Epic Denegra against Siege.
Right.
The Poor answer Durgan. Is no.
What?
You can't have a... Focus Fury 7 caster and be outside of the thing while still in the zone.
Yeah, I think I said I measured that and pretty sure that was the thing I said.
Math-wise, it's 13.7.
Yeah, it's close.
Just saying.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. Good job, Crump. Man.
Yay, Trig.
I appreciate your chicken scratch mathematics over here.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
There's the answer. In units.
I feel like the mathematics that I'm looking at right now have made this show even more professional than it already is.
If that was because it's possible. On a subway.
Which it seemed impossible.
This is where real mathematicians do their hard work.
On napkins.
I kid you not.
How would you
real
know?
Mathematicians and apparently advertising execs.
And about, everyone on NASA.
What about math NASA. Magicians?
They math do theirs magicians? On handkerchiefs that come out of their sleeve.
I like
good
it.
Answer.
I like it.
Good answer.
Indeed.
It was all part of my illusion.
So, Killbox, the change to 2 points rather than the whole game, was that a relevant change?
I think it was, because you can still play. You can play your way back into the game.
It makes a forgotten Killbox not an auto-lose in a game that you were dominating.
Yep.
It's extremely relevant. I mean, just look at the TempoCon Masters Finals. That happened. Harbi was winning, and I guess the only way that she could lose was to get killed. And so,
oh yeah, Mike did Mike intentionally killbox
ran
himself
her out of the.
Well, she was burning almost to death, and she had to spend all her focus to heal. So
he ran her as far away as possible, which was outside of the killbox. So he gave up 2 points, but he was, you know, he could afford to do it because he was. So
it was
far
in
ahead
destruction, and both of his objectives were still alive.
Which is exactly what we talked about.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a really, 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 it's a super relevant. Also, there was nothing, I've never seen people tilt so hard or lose their enjoyment for the entire day as when they, at a tournament, as when they killbox themselves. Like, it just kills your, it just kills your mood for the whole day. Whereas now, you don't automatically lose, so it takes
away. I don't think
out.
I ever call a killbox on somebody. I think every time they were going to killbox themselves, I was like, move your caster up another 2 inches, please.
The only person I've seen not tilt, the only person I've seen not tilt at it, Danny Modesto.
Yep.
Yeah, that guy is...
the best part of that
game. He's so chill. Classy. He's very classy.
The best part of that game was just neither of us realized. We were just too into the zone to like realize what was happening. Yeah, we're just like...
Andrew was just
and
like,
Hax was like, you're dead. And we're both like, what?
Andrew's just like, good game. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Yes, he's very classy. Very classy gentleman.
And a WTC nominee.
Hope he goes.
Oh, God. Now I want to go. So I can spend time with Danny Modesto.
Yeah, I mean, like, it wouldn't be fun to go hang out with JVM and Flanzer and Danny Modesto and, like, all those guys. I'm not
sounds
kind
of boring.
I like that he put his Modesto
gauntlet.
As one of his... That's awesome.
Well, notice among the names of players beaten there, mine did not appear.
Mine either. High five,
you,
bro.
You ducked him.
I did not duck him. I had to play in the Invitational.
I got dice.
That sounds like the best ducking ever.
I mean, Will Pagani is probably going to go. Like, there's going to be a lot of super sweet people at WTC. I wish I could be there. Should be sweet.
Do we need to take a break to like recharge our energy stores? Everyone's getting all drowsy and mopey, and
I just don't have anything to say about this particular.
I
want to
point out how weird it is that I am giving
the one
all
pointing
that
this out.
That is a little odd,
isn't
Wait
it?
Wait a minute, Chad. Let me fix this.
Where's the real Chad?
What killed the Mountain King this week?
What killed the Mountain King this week? Okay, so I played a game against one of our local Crix players in Ames.
He's really bad.
And I decided to play the Mountain King.
That's impolite.
I was like, he's Crix. All I told him before the game was I just said, you know, I was playing against Fox, one of our local players. I just said, Fox.
He's very new.
And bad.
All I ask of you is please don't play Denegra, because I can't think of anything worse than a crippling grasp Mountain King.
Fox, why didn't you play Denegra?
Because I asked him not to.
A Withered Gorton is pretty bad. It might be worse than the crippling grasp Mountain King.
That happens for one turn, though.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty awful. You can only cast one Molten Metal.
Exactly. The Tactical Arcanist Court beat him by three, and he's a Warcaster.
The Journeyman Warcaster is like high-fiving him, like,
hey, we're on the same level.
Exactly. Yeah, Focus 3, all right. And he's speed 2.
Anyway, Crippling Grass Mountain King. I didn't want it. But he was playing Terminus, and he had, you know, just a boatload of Bane Thralls and two units of Mechanithralls, and I was just like, oh, this is great. Like, the mountain, there's pretty much no way the Mountain King can live through this. And, I mean, so
this is great. There's no way my Mountain King can
I finally get to do this segment.
That's not what was going through my mind, right? But still.
You're like, yes, brilliant.
True to my thoughts, the first three Mechanithralls that charged it put 12 damage through on it all, you know, all together. Which
that's
was
a point and a half with the Mechanithralls.
Yeah.
Right. Reasonable. Anyway.
Spared no expense.
Mountain King. Yeah. Okay. So I was jamming Gristle down his throat to basically stop him from being able to charge. That was my whole strategy. And the one thing that can really shut down this strategy is Terminus just, like, sort of walking forward and being like, hi. And then Gristle's like, oh, I'm going to go over here.
Run away, little girl.
Wow. Wow. Was that a wow reference? Wow.
Yeah. This is Karazhan. Wow. Anyway, so he walked Terminus forward, and I was, you know, sort of going in my head, all right, here it goes. I'm going to start running away and just letting everything die. And then he starts boosting attack and damage rolls with his spray on all of my champions. And I was just...
Christmas?
Yeah, okay. And so then I got to kill him with champions, and the Mountain King didn't die again.
The correct number of focus to spend on Terminus, by the way, for those of you keeping score at home, is zero.
Especially when he's less than 8 inches away from three champions.
You might, hopefully you're upkeeping Malediction for free, but you might spend one focus upkeeping Malediction.
No, he was upkeeping it for free.
Yeah. He does play.
I also missed my Calamity on him, which is the worst thing.
Calamity's a good spell, right? I hear.
It is when you don't
plus two to attack and damage rolls is pretty
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it is good. I mean, I've been playing Emags enough now that, yes, the spell is...
Bonkers, right?
I was just, like, I don't understand why I didn't, like, get it. I understand why you didn't get it. No, for a while.
As soon as I say it, you're like,
no,
nope,
true. No, because I already looked at it, and at first, like, I, you know, like, part of the reason I like Idrians and wish that P. Magnus was good so I could play Idrians is because Prey is so bonkers. So, like, I obviously got the plus two is good. But I think every time I looked at it, I was like, all he's got is Calamity, and it's an offensive spell, and it costs his focus, and it's not Crippling Grasp.
You should have...
You're very fixated on the fact that it wasn't.
Yes, I was too I was too fixated on the fact that it was not Crippling
Magnus
Grasp.
Magnus should learn how to Felcall.
As long as he gets to keep Killbox.
He does hang out with Boom Howler a lot.
That feeds bonkers, right?
Yeah, Killbox and Calamity. If we're going to do Dojo, I can talk about my Emags list because I'm kind of excited about it.
In the
are we done talking about the Mountain King?
No, Mountain King.
Oh, yeah.
How to die.
So what? Oh, how did it die?
I killed Terminus. It didn't die.
Yeah.
Do you at least kill Terminus with the Mountain King?
Has the Mountain King ever died?
I sprayed at him.
God.
You've played with Mountain King for 3 weeks now.
Because he freaking sack bombed.
4 weeks?
I've played like 3-4 weeks so far.
And he has died once.
Yeah.
He hasn't died once.
You heard it here first, folks.
Actually, you
Mountain King.
Most damage to him.
Maybe.
And then you healed
literally all of it back.
Maybe the case is the Mountain King is too survivable, and we've just been wrong.
The Mountain King is actually the best of the Colossals.
He's way more survivable when he's armor 23 and most of the enemy army can't charge.
Yeah?
Yeah, Gristle actually just makes him a nightmare.
I think Gristle is definitely the way to go.
I mean, Gristle is actually, she's actually just the best trollcaster.
People have been saying on the forums that Grimm is the way to go for the same sort of logic because his feet can stop you from being able to charge
for one turn.
But Gristle can do it all game long.
Yeah.
And when she's got a Mountain King to hide behind, she can really be a whale in your face.
When your Steelhead Cav cannot charge and they just have to walk up and, like, just make their puny flank attacks, like, against it, it's the worst. It's the worst.
And it's not so much that she hides behind the Mountain King. She sort of hides to the side of the Mountain King.
Yeah. She hides behind a wall.
A champion, yeah. It's not like she's easy to kill, but, yeah, when she's behind a wall and there's a Mountain King stopping her from, you know, like, blocking off half of the threat vectors.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you can still get stuff to her, but...
It's hard.
Yeah, he's literally, you know, he's just, by sitting there, he's just stopping models from just being able to, you know, stopping twice as many models from being able to get around her.
Keith,
yeah.
I think we figured out why Chad was so positive today. The Mountain King has been good for him for now 2 or 3 weeks, and that burden is starting to lift off his shoulders. So
I think it's like turning me around, like my whole life is like coming
out,
like it's just, yeah, it's like all like... You know.
Well, here's the question.
All right, somebody kill the Mountain King quick.
The reality is that Gristle is actually just bonkers.
Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah, she's like, I mean, I've played against Chad, and I've played a lot of games, and I've played against a lot of his trollcasters, and like Borka is scary, and Madrak is scary, but Gristle is.
Yeah, every time I
just makes everything so good. So the question is it that the Mountain King is good, or is it just Gristle?
Yeah, I love Gristle. I love Gristle a lot.
I'm so glad when I play against troll players and they do not have her in their repertoire. I'm just like, thank God. I hate that.
She does punish infantry machines.
Like Abig Madrak, thank God.
So here's the thing that I haven't gone up against, though, that would be problematic is, because I keep going up against infantry heavy lists, and Gristle just manhandles them by stopping them from being able to get orders. And if I went up against a Warjack heavy army or a Warbeast heavy army, I feel like it probably wouldn't be as good for me because her feet or her, you know, cacophony does nothing to stop Warbeast from charging.
It still sounds awful optimistic for you. I think Keith and I need to do some dojo and just beat it out of you. I liked it better when you were Moopy.
I don't. Stop. I mean, stop it. Stop it, John.
It is more true to my personality.
I'm just playing. I'm sorry.
No, I've been having a lot of fun playing it, though. Even in the games that I've lost a couple of games.
Yeah, sure.
I lost my game versus Brad because I just couldn't. The Mountain King was too much board. It just was too much point investment in one model. And Haley was just able to shut it down too easily and score scenario zones, you know, completely.
Does it help that it's a gorgeous model? And that Charlie Foster did a good job?
That helps a lot. Yeah. And then every single time I put it on the table, someone says something about it. And I just love moving it around, and I love, like, looking at it. Yeah, it's amazing.
I almost touched it once, and Chad almost murdered me.
No, you picked up something and dropped it, like, right next to it. And
it was a test of our friendship.
Hey, look, another exaggeration. What do you know? I almost touched it. No, that's a little different.
I almost touched it with the model.
That's a little different than I almost dropped something on.
Was, like, the Woldrath, too.
No, I think it was like a
I think it was a circle
battle. By the way, the Woldrath versus the Mountain King is freaking hilarious. It is so sad for the Woldrath.
Yep.
Because it's pound 19.
You know that gargantuan
and
grudge
no way of making it hit harder.
Yeah.
So it's dice minus 4 on the Mountain King.
He's just like,
and the Mountain King's like dice plus.
He's just, yeah, he's like, he stopped that.
God, Chad, you're so cute.
And then you make a whelp, and then he eats it.
Yeah, so good. So good. Ah, life is good.
I don't know if he's still. I'm not. Like, the thing is, I've been having a ton of fun playing with him. I feel like if I took this list to a tournament, it would not do well.
You might surprise yourself.
I might surprise myself. I'm probably going to do it.
Then you'll have actual material for the segment.
If I don't.
Yeah, actually,
what are we doing right now? We're talking.
You're kind of failing hard. The segment was going to be so awesome. Like, kill the Mountain King this week?
You guys are the ones failing if you think about it.
Do you know what Keith charged me with the very first time he broke out the Mountain King?
I gave him a task.
He did.
The task would have been the best what killed the Mountain King this week, probably of all time. But
he was just
failed.
Like, kill it with a charging gun mage.
Yes!
A charging gun mage. To be fair, you did Rube Goldberg some way to get those gun mages up to POW 12.
Yep, with, yeah, POW 12 with Harm and Damiana's feet, yeah.
Am I wrong?
Yeah.
The shame.
Oh, I can't charge with Gristle's feet. This week, gun mages. Charging gun
mages. Yeah, we may have to start making stuff up, because the segment's gold, right?
But I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not the one that's failing. You guys are all the ones that are failing.
That's true. We are the ones that have not killed
you. You are failing not playing two Mountain Kings, giving us twice the opportunity.
My house burning down. I haven't had time to play, Chad. I'm sorry. It's my fault.
You have been very verklempt. Brent told me that he plays a drinking game with the Musecast now, where every time you mention your house burning down, he takes a drink.
Oh.
He says he gets trashed.
I was going to say, he probably gets submitted to, like, the hospital.
So, folks at home, play this drinking game.
I thought you were going to go a different direction with that.
Yep.
It's actually been pretty light.
Our good friend, Brent.
Maybe I'm starting to get over the pain.
It could be.
God, we should just get him on Extreme
Home Makeover.
What's that thing? Extreme Home Makeover, just so he'll shut up about it.
He's having an extreme.
I read today that most of the people whose homes get made over have to sell them because the taxes are too high.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, wow.
But at least they got to go to Disneyland.
Right.
Well, they also cash out big because those homes are worth buku bucks.
Right.
That's why the taxes are high.
Well, in some cases, I heard like people try to hang on to them and then like repossessed and auction like the stuff inside of it. That's probably bad. But
well, I mean.
So it's all actually just this giant pyramid scheme to like make Sears a bunch of money.
Wait a minute.
It's not as bad as I read.
No, there's certain probably exaggerations.
I just want to point out this is a crippled systems style tangent.
Wait. Shut it.
That's fine.
They stole it from us.
Who?
All right.
So I wanted to go around and have everyone make a recommendation of things that we like that we think other people should experience.
That's a really good idea. Did you come up with that idea all on your own?
It came to me.
What?
Crump has never listened to Crippled Systems, so he's not getting the joke.
Oh.
Now you guys know that Crump doesn't listen to you. How does that make you feel?
Wow. Probably pretty good.
Look, I don't have time to listen to any podcasts.
I'll be very honest. I don't listen to a lot of podcasts because I find that if I listen to too many, I end up parroting a lot of what other people are saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that argument as well.
No, it's actually very easy to start saying something. You're like, oh, wait, I heard this somewhere. Oh, I heard it on another podcast. And that's very – it's not what I want to do. So
social learning theory.
Yep.
No, I actually don't have a lot of spare time to listen to podcasts. In the spare time that I would have, I would rather just be spending playing games.
Why don't you have all that spare time? What are you trying to do?
Reach these keys.
You guys realize I haven't played a game of War Machine.
Trying to set that up for like a month.
I know. And then I find out that he did it when I wasn't here, which is just the worst kick to the balls. Just like, damn it, Crump! I was so mad at you.
Did you listen to that podcast?
I haven't yet.
Oh, no one should have told you about it.
You told me about it.
I know. Ruined it. Oh, that would have been excellent.
You're the worst.
They hadn't heard of Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I mean, what better place is there for that line? If Jurassic Park doesn't reach them, how can you possibly reach these keys?
Stand and deliver.
Good times. Dojo. Let's do some dojo.
Are we actually going to do some dojo?
We should do some dojo.
What were we doing? I don't even know what we were doing.
You were talking about Extreme Home Makeover.
Yeah, we were.
We started talking about the Mountain King, and then we were talking about recommending.
That's right.
No,
that's
let's stop backtracking. We're going to get sidetracked.
Hold on. That was a dangerous place. We've moved past it. We're in the dojo now.
Hold on. Bom. We can combine dojo and mail.
Dojo and mail.
Mail Joe.
Mail Joe.
Well, while we are revving up the mail engine, seems fine. Yeah. Crump, you had dojo.
What? No, do Maxon first. He's got some sweet.
Oh yes, Magnus, Epic Magnus is much better than you thought he was, and exactly as good as John and I told you he was.
Yeah, over and over again, and over.
Hate getting advice.
Over.
I do because unfortunately, as many of our listeners out there, I'm sure, know, they're frequently right.
No, just the advice comes with just
and yes.
No, the advice you get from them comes with this burden.
It's a sort of Damocles. It's like, I can that's why I was like, I can accept this advice, but I'm never gonna hear the end of how like brilliant they are if I accept it. Or I can just like fight it and try and make arguments and eventually come around. Like, I'm just screwed either way, really.
Actually, you just dig your hole deeper.
Yeah. Lesson learned, don't take advice, period. Yeah.
Just put my fingers in my ears and talk
John's
really
loudly. I have this really good idea.
we're nothing but nice about it, though, as far as I can recall. I mean,
I'm not.
They just, like, gloat about
it.
Like,
person at all.
You, like, win a game with Epic Magnus, and they come over and they're, oh, man. Yeah, he's legit, isn't he?
Yeah. Or I go over to Keith's place, and I'm like, so, like, I've been playing Epic Magnus, and I really like him. And Keith's like, mm-hmm. And he just has this, like, smug, like, beaming grin on his face.
Oh, man.
Well, let's hear your dojo.
All right.
Whatever you figured out is good with him.
So the E-Magnus list I've been running is, the battle group is Galleon and a Renegade.
Weird.
let's just stop.
Yeah, that's it. Figure the rest of the list out for yourselves. Play it. Don't play it. I don't care. I'm never touching Epic Magnus again. So, anyway, Renegade, Galleon, Wishnailer is the battle group there. And then full Nis, full Boomhowlers, Ionen Holt, Gorman, Dougal, Eiris, and I'm forgetting something, I think.
That is a deep character sink.
Yeah, it is. So Eiris is actually probably not required. The Nis is... I think he's got to have the Nis. It's possible Crow's Cutthroats with Calamity are good enough, maybe. But nothing else... Like, he needs something that can perform like a combined arms group, and nothing else performs combined arms.
I would love Crow's Cutthroats if they were range 12. I just found out.
Those are crossbows, not bows.
On Saturday.
Was that Saturday? Yeah, it was Saturday. Or no, it was Wednesday.
Wednesday. I found out on Wednesday that they're range 10.
Yeah.
I was like, "What? Wait, what?"
Yeah, they have a whole bunch of deficiencies, but at least Crow has reach.
The rest of them I could ignore. The range 10, and I was magic. Just like, bleh.
Well, Dougal gives them range 12 for a turn.
Yeah.
But,
all right, I'm back on the bandwagon. You only really need it for a turn. So.
But anyway, it's just Killbox, Calamity, and Mobility are just so good. And the list is actually just extremely good at playing all three aspects. It can attrition because it's a heavy ranged list. It can play for scenario because Killbox is just a scenario monster feat. And it can play assassination so easily because if they move their caster up, Renegade Knockdown and Galleon shoot you. Yeah, it's just like combat. that's just like that's how I've won actually every game.
Four focus Galleon.
Yeah, it can be four focus Galleon. Galleon doesn't even once they're knocked down, the Galleon doesn't need four focus.
No.
Yeah, the Galleon just pretty much auto hits and puts a bunch of POW 13s into you.
Well. Should be
or POW 15s, or actually POW 17s if you Calamity. So,
yeah.
So, yeah. Like,
sounds so fun.
Yeah. Like the Boomhowler, between Killbox and the Boomhowlers, the Galleon gets 2 to 3 turns to shoot, and that's a nightmare for opponents. I'm kind of concerned.
Yeah, and you can stop them from running away from it. Jeez.
Yeah, exactly. And Gorman is, I think he's necessary because the one thing about Magnus. That's scary is that to use his feet, he has to get way up the field.
Like he's in the cloud?
Yeah. And so you really need the cloud plus bullet dodger to keep him safe because all they're going to do the turn you kill box is shoot. And he's going to be in range of every gun in their army.
Yeah, that else is pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's how I got the one time that Magnus got me on with his feet in a tournament. He walked up and he had to get Epic Madrak and my bomber and his control radius to pop his feet. And I was just like, aim, shoot, you're dead?
Yep. He needs the bullet dodger. He needs the cloud. Ideally, you just completely block line of sight with it. But if you can't, at least he goes to def 18 versus shooting. And then if they miss, he can back out behind the cloud, and then the line of sight will be blocked. So that's...
Sorry for...
No, it seems sort of legit.
Yeah, like Gorman, I think, is necessary. Ion and Holt are pretty necessary, I think, because I think the harm is... pretty exceptional.
Also, with Calamity in the right place, it seems like you can turn the Boomhowlers into a shooting unit.
Oh, yep.
At that point, you get the Nis as a shooting unit. You've got Galleon.
Have you thought about the
Ionna
whole...
and Holt? Like you just that's a enormous gun line on the turns that matter.
Calamity plus Rust plus Harm.
Yeah.
POW 18.
Profit.
Well,
POW 18 Boomhowler shots.
Gorman. Yeah. Gorman in particular. Is pretty ridiculous with Killbox because he actually legitimately gets to Black Oil twice if like you can set that scenario up where you don't need the smoke that turn because they can't move any closer to Gorman, so he's going to Black Oil you twice.
You also get to set us up the bomb with Galleon. You're like, all right, well, I'll just position all these pieces right about at, 12 inches from this storm wall, and Killbox on you. And then next turn, well, Galleon's going to be, 7 inches from the Stormwall, and Stormwall's like, no, get away.
Yeah.
Get away, must get away.
Yeah.
And then it's like, Rust, Harm, Calamity, and then Galleon walks up, and he's like, interesting, you
could have Irish shoot on. He's like,
today.
Today, no, he's like.
You get to kill it using.
Dead.
You could actually punch it to death with the crane.
You could.
I don't think Magnus doesn't like all E Magnus wants is a strong gunline army, and Like, and the Galleon is just perfect for him because he wants a heavy gun platform, and it's obviously an insane heavy gun platform. So, like, today, like what you were talking about with the Boomhowlers turning them into a shooting unit, that's exactly what happened. Like, I spent my feet to lock Tiberian, and then, like, harmed in Calamity Tiberian, and then the Boomhowlers put, like, 10 to 12 damage on Tiberian shooting, and then the Galleon finished him.
Oh. So, Keith, this sounds like a list I would play.
Interesting.
Yeah. Would you play that list?
I would.
Yeah.
Insufferable.
They really are insufferable, yes.
You know what? We would be a lot less insufferable if you had just tried the list when we told you about it.
I had to get around to it.
Okay.
It's not like this list took too much one renegade.
It only has one renegade. I don't think he needs more.
I believe that to be the correct number of renegades.
Yeah.
I just find that interesting.
Yep.
They
are 6 points. With
yeah,
one shotgun.
It's 6 points, and like all he wants to do is like between Wishnailer, he's got 10-inch range on Calamity from him, and then he's got the arc node, so like you can cover a huge portion of the board to make sure you can land Calamity, because that's mm-hmm. all you want to do, obviously.
The two things that you want your renegade to do in most games, I would say, is threaten the caster kill.
Yep.
For probably until after you use your feet to keep threatening the caster
yep.
kill if you can't get it, and be available for arcing. The trick is keeping it alive because they are a little squishy.
Yep.
Armor 16.
And then every once in a while, if the
Def 12, Armor 16.
Yeah.
Nope. 11,
no, they're
11-17.
Yeah, it's 11-17. I was gonna say, like, yeah, Magnus's jacks are built.
It's not good.
Built Ford tough.
If the opportunity,
which means really squishy.
If the opportunity presents itself against certain armies, circle pops into mind. You get an early like boost, knock down a Warwolf Stalker, and get way ahead on
yep.
attrition with like an early. And then you have a disposable arc node at that point.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Renegades have 28 boxes.
Yes, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like his two jag, the Mangler is also just like built like heavier than
Black Rock.
Yeah, they are built for Merc Jacks. They're actually built kind of tough, but yeah, like the Renegade is just there to like having the Renegade controls where they can move their caster. And then it usually just kind of sits behind the Boomhowlers for me and, like, arcs spells up into whatever I'm going to shoot. So arcs Calamity up into whatever I'm going to shoot. So.
Oh, sorry, armor 18.
Oh.
It's got a buckler.
That's
right. It does have a buckler.
That's bad.
Built for tough.
Indeed. Yep. It's still not, like, getting the gun arm shot off is a disaster. So, I mean.
Unless you've already shot it.
Right. Unless you. Then at that point, it's a disposable arc. And when I'm talking about protecting the Renegade, I'm talking about if the Obliterator has not yeah. been fired.
You're yep. really just protecting the Obliterator.
Yeah.
Right.
really
Which, ironically,
just,
the shield is what it,
but
it's
for,
on. That.
Actually, for Epic Magnus, the Arc Node is more important. The Obliterator Rocket's good.
Yep, I agree. I agree that is true.
Which is why I often would advocate an early Obliterator shot to get you up on attrition.
Yep. Man.
My phone's
Calamity
like
is so good.
Yep. It is quite good.
So good.
Very,
it's
very good
still not Crippling Grasp, but it is quite good.
Not Crippling Grasp.
How sad is it that it's so good and is less than half of Crippling Grasp? It's like a third of Crippling Grasp for the same cost.
I would argue that it's more like 70% of Crippling Grasp.
Most of what you do with Crippling Grasp is debuff to kill things.
I use Crippling Grasp to kill things. That's
yeah.
me. There are some people that use it as a fire and forget debuff, but I generally don't.
Fair enough. That's what I find the most infuriating, I guess.
Is when they just like put it on a Mulg and like move on.
Yeah, or a unit of champions.
yeah.
Whatever.
Nothing to see here.
Anything that's more than 10 points.
These are not the droids you're looking at. Anyway. Oh, I think we could do a little dojo and combine a mail.
Okay.
This is from Gemini, who's been a long time listener to our podcast.
Long time listener, first time caller.
I think he's submitted other things, but I couldn't tell you what they were. But Dear Muse Crew. Love the show. One of the highlights of my week. I have a question for you. Why isn't there more talk going around about how amazing Krios 3 is? He's a fantastic counter to the Colossal Heavy meta. Would love to hear your thoughts on Dojo. Love, Gemini. We love you too, Gemini.
He's really bad. Don't play him.
Yeah, he's pretty bad. Leave him in the box.
God awful.
Hey guys. I just
the model
let you know.
Is also hideous.
Hold on. I know that you guys.
Well, now they know.
The reason why we haven't been talking about Krios. Is out of respect for me because I lost all my miniatures, including my two full units of Avengers.
We're sorry, Brent.
Yep.
John, you lost your miniatures. What happened?
My house burnt down.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Brent's in the hospital.
And committed.
Oh, man.
I hope you weren't driving right then, Brent.
He's just... He's on minis on audiobooks. Yeah.
He's just got Tumblr with him at all times.
Yeah. Oh, these guys are killing me.
He's getting... Settles in to listen. He better have a drink with him.
Yeah, actually, getting on to his question, Krios 3 is a monster. Probably, I think he's the best caster that came out in that book.
They may have done this on Road to War, but I will paraphrase in his way how Will Pagani describes Thrios, which I hadn't really thought it through until he laid it out for me. And then I was like, yes. All right. But if you take a look at his spell list and feat, which is like Crevasse,
Ignite, Force Hammer,
Warpath, Force Hammer, and something Holy else Ward. Insane on this. Holy Ward.
So you have Dash?
Fortune? Second. Or not Fortune.
No, he has
Death Sentence.
Death Sentence.
Did you say
it.
Warpath?
Yeah. So it's a really strong spell list. And his feat is Purification followed by casting his upkeeps for free.
Which he has four of.
Cast not Crevasse or Force Hammer.
Right.
It's effectively like what? Like
oh, wait, he actually has Force Hammer.
Ten focus worth of spells. Yeah.
And he's a 7 focus warcaster. So you take the 7, you take the spellist, and you take the feat, and you're like, this is a Manoth caster I would play. This is a protector caster that I would play.
Pretty strong.
This is probably a little better than a Vindictus. This is on the Fiora / other Krios levels, pretty close, if not a little better than some
not
of them.
Krios 1.
Yeah,
it's
no,
not Krios 1.
No,
I think he's
feet.
Way better than the number 2 by, like, miles.
And then you add in the rest of the card, and you're like, the F? He's 14-17 with 18 boxes?
Yes.
Can camp 7.
He can camp 8 with Rax. He's got Holy Ward, so he can be 16 when it counts. He's power 14 base with reach and blessed. Power 16 on the charge because he has brutal charge.
Yep.
Power 18 on the charge with ignite that he'll probably be casting for free on himself. His weapon is blessed, and he gets signs importance for himself and all of the Vengers for just because. And then he's mat 8 for no functional
plus 2
reason.
To hit on the charge.
10 on the charge with
also,
signs importance.
So he's like pow 20.
He just hits Kane on 2 dice for funsies. He's like, roll a 7 with signs importance. Like I can probably do that. Like and on then, a charge, he's just like going into Kane. He's like, no need to boost.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just one shots.
He reliably hits Def 20.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like dice plus 7 if Kane's camp
on the charge.
Mm-hmm. He is dangerous to full camp terminus.
Yeah,
he's threatening to a fully camped terminus.
He's no arcane assassin, but I agree.
And because he's cavalry, he's speed 8, and so he has the option for ride bys, which is extremely good. If he's chilling out behind a wall, he can still walk forward, sling spells, and then come back. And it just being survivable and as a protector caster is such a boon, and then being a killing machine on top of that, it's something they didn't really have in a caster before now.
Yeah.
Like Fiora can beat some stuff up and
not near like
Resnik is sort of mean, but nothing on this guy's level, like not even close. He's one of the biggest beaters now in the game.
He also camps like a boss too.
And he camps like a monster. Like he in full camp mode, he would be what 16 23
16 24 with Rax.
Mat 8 past 16 with signs importance. Is like gives the butcher a run for his money, and he's got plus 2 speed or plus 3 speed on the butcher.
Yeah,
yeah.
Butcher speed 5,
3 speed on the butcher.
That's ridiculous. And blessed.
Yeah, and blessed.
And blessed.
Does he only get to use a lance on charges? I didn't look.
No.
Whatever. That's just his weapon.
It's just the weapon.
Oh man, that's so glorious.
Conviction.
It's really, really good. I want to play that so bad. I love horse models.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's good. And then. His spell list is actually bonkers. Warpath
is insane.
Yeah, it makes
ridiculous because you can use it to either get engagement range with your jacks for charges. It also makes gun lines. You know, your reckoner shooting at 12 inches away, but then can get warpath back so that it's not 15 inches away from what it shot. Which
it also really pisses me off when they give ignite to Manoth casters who already have the choir. So getting double plus 2s, you know, plus 4 is just it's. Plus 4 can turn anything into a melee beater.
I'm okay with this.
And he's one of those casters where there are casters in this game where over time you see their list sort of distill towards a point. Like you can almost imagine that there is an optimal list for this caster. Maybe it isn't a majority, but there are certainly casters for which that happens. Asphyxius, I would say, would be one. Like there are lists for Lich Lord Asphyxius that sort of are like, yes, this is getting better and better, and I can see an ideal point in the future. I don't know what it is, but there might be a list that is considered to be the best Asphyxius list. Kreas doesn't have that because he can do whatever he wants.
Tons of jacks, okay. Tons of troops, okay. Mix, okay.
When I was playing him, I'll just go into Dojo about the list that I was playing, and I only played it a couple times. Actually, I think I only played it once, but I actually really liked how the list played. Felt really good. It was Thrios Revenger, probably a little controversial, but
it was just the standard arc node, right?
Yeah, just the standard Joe Blow arc node for 6 points. Double Reckoner, two units Avengers.
So this is the theme force.
Yeah. Two units Avengers.
Gravis.
Gravis, because it also makes him steady.
Does Gravis get the sign's importance?
No, he doesn't.
No.
Gravis makes Kreas steady, too?
Yeah, he's an exemplar.
He sure is.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So,
wait.
Which makes him a lot
steadier. Wait.
No, he is.
Yeah, he is, because it works on Epic Kreas.
Yep. And I don't remember what else was in that list. There's some amount of Choir and Vassals. But the reason why I put an arc node in the list was so that you could get good use out of Death Sentence and threaten Force Hammer.
Death Sentence is an amazing spell.
I also wanted to be able to have the option to swap Ignite to the other unit Avengers, which are often ranging out pretty far. So I was like, I think an arc node is not bad. I don't know that it's right.
Is Death Sentence the one that gives fortune to everybody that attacks it?
Yeah. Okay. It's reverse fortune.
Yeah. So, like, for example, I took a unit of Avengers into a unit of Kazi, Def 16, and with impact attacks, I think I cleared out almost the entire unit because I Death Sentenced them first.
Pretty much.
I think I left you with one or two.
What is the battle group?
Double Reckoner. It's just Reckoner.
You need nines with signs importance.
Yeah.
And you ignore Iron Flesh.
And reroll.
Reroll. Yeah, so that's... Like, your average to hit a 9. You're actually average to hit a 9 with signs importance anyway. Yeah.
The horse hooves do not... The impacts do not ignore
Iron Flesh.
Oh.
No, but he didn't have Iron Flesh. Right. He just had Chaos.
Right.
With Iron Flesh, I'd have to hit him with the lances. But you still kill a bunch.
Yeah, probably. Well, one per.
Yeah, pretty much. Because you got a cav charge, so you get +2 to hit. Signs importance.
Yeah, easily one.
Yeah. First, you definitely kill. Each of them kill.
But, And also, Ignite plus signs importance makes those impact attacks equivalent of power 14.
Mm-hmm.
Power 14 impact attacks? That's crazy.
I know, right? So you get
that's broken.
You get power 14,
nobody
impact,
should have power
attacks,
14 impact attacks
that are basically the equivalent of Mat 9 with signs importance. So
Mat 9 power 14 impact attacks?
What?
Unheard of.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like this at all.
So yeah, I just
I don't like any of this.
The things that he does for Avengers is actually kind of bonkers.
Absolutely,
yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Which is why I wanted to play with two units of them, and I found I was not disappointed at all because you have huge threat ranges. You are incredibly deadly to any heavy.
Yeah, that list is really really fast.
Yeah.
Was there a unit in there other than the Avengers?
Choir.
Like, was there
Errants? Did Errants make it in?
I don't remember.
There's not room for Errants.
Okay.
Was there Zealots? There might have been Zealots.
Not one. Zealots in his theme force.
All right.
So, wait. What was the battle group again?
Two Reckoners and an Avenger. Like I said, I'm not sure about the Revenger. I just wanted the option for putting stuff out there.
I don't disagree with it. Because, I mean, he can make the Revenger pretty dangerous. It's base power 12 or 13.
13.
So 17.
15 with Choir, with 17 with Ignite.
With all the
Matty
shenanigans.
Yep.
So
it potentially rerolls.
I would probably play the crap out of his theme force. I don't know if... It might be worth taking it to tier 4.
What was in tier 4?
So, tier 2 requirements, at least one unit of horses. Tier 3 requirement is fire salvation, and it reduces all the point costs of heavies that don't have ranged weapons by 1. So it's an 8-point fire salvation. And then tier 4 is just include a unit of choir, and one of your heavies gets advanced move.
He is one of the few casters. I mean, this is what I'm talking about with so many ways to build this guy. He's certainly a caster that makes, especially with the point reduction, Crusader spam a thing.
Yeah, Warpath of Crusaders is actually kind of silly.
Warpath and Crusaders are 6-point, now 5-point heavies.
And they're also base pow 20 or 18. They're base pow 18.
Just swap Ignite onto whichever one's going to do work that turn.
Yeah,
you
become
crazy.
Power 22.
Yeah.
That's just a conquest punching you.
Really good. is it 5 points?
It's points with a point reduction.
Five points for a pow 22 throwaway jack that's got a 10-inch threat range?
Yep.
32 boxes. 11. 19.
Are they speed 5?
They're speed 5 without reach.
They're speed 4.
Oh, right. They are speed 4. Fire Salvation got faster.
They're 10.5-inch threat range.
Yeah.
On a throwaway POW 22. Okay. That's pretty good.
Herp or derp.
I mean, you don't need Gravis in the list either. I think he's probably worth it, but...
I love Gravis in the Double Avenger list because they're all steady.
Right.
And it also... It makes things like Typhoon really sad.
Yeah, he was net decking my Bart list there.
Yeah, that
happened.
So,
how does this sound?
Those Ignited Vengers on the charge. Ignited Blessed Vengers probably ding up a galleon pretty hard.
So,
three of them took out the entire side and they weren't ignited, if I remember right.
Yeah, it was
a little rough.
So, Krios, Fire Salvation, 3 Crusaders, Gravis, a Vassal, a Mechanic, Min Choir, 2 full units of horses.
That's kind of crazy.
So you get a cost reduction on the horses?
No, you do not. But all of the jacks on the list cost 1 point less.
Okay.
Yeah, you could take a unit of horses out at that point and maybe take Gravis out and play a different type of list.
Play more Crusaders.
Right.
I was thinking, maybe some fuel and some Reclaimers so you could be really nutty, but...
So
you want to take the Krios 3 theme force with a million Crusaders and then match up against the... Witch Coven theme force with a million slayers.
Who will win?
Who will come out on top?
I feel like probably Krios.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure those Power 22 Crusaders, two shot.
There are a lot more slayers.
They're only 4 points. Man. And they don't have to spend all that extra crap on.
We need to dojo this right now. Or we need to.
Dojo battle?
Dojo battle.
100 dojos. Go.
Wait.
20 Slayers versus 10 Crusaders, go.
Wait, how many Crusaders can I actually jam into this
list?
Kill
all of the Iron Lich Overseers, done. I don't know how you do that, actually.
They get stabbed by spears from the Avengers.
Not through 20 Slayers. It's not actually 20 Slayers.
No, it's 9.
That's a lot of Slayers.
That is a lot of Slayers.
I like how you say 9, like it's just casual. No, it's a completely reasonable
Doesn't
number.
Doesn't two Avengers... Under Ignite, charging the Slayer.
They have Nightfall. We'll close. It'll be fine.
Hold on. I'm putting as many Crusaders as I can
into this cloud that you totally can't purify away with your feet.
Yeah.
The Coven's feet. Is that what you're talking about?
I'm pretty sure two Avengers just charges and kills a Slayer. Splat.
We probably want to have as many choir as we do Crusaders.
If three
right?
take out one side of a galleon, then two probably kill a Slayer dead.
Well, their armor 17. You're not going to miss.
They have 28 boxes. The same as a Renegade.
So you're
And Renegade is built Ford tough. We've already established that.
Right.
There's no going back.
Built Ford tough like a rock.
This is the stupidest dojo.
No, this is amazing. I got it.
All time. I apologize to everybody for what I have done.
We can fit in 6 Crusaders and Fire of Salvation with still having choir buffs. Oh, I guess I could minimize the Avengers. Hold on.
So something that if I was going to build him non-tier, we should talk about that. I feel like Repenters go really well with him.
Yeah, Warpathing Repenters are not fair nor balanced.
Agreed.
Pretty sweet, though.
Sort of like Fox News.
Yeah.
Also, Igniting Repenters get up to POW 18, don't they?
The Repenters are the 4-pointers, right?
Yeah. They get up to POW 17.
17?
They're 13 base, so 15.
I thought they were 12 base. In a reasonable world, they're 12 base. I think you're counting Eye of Menoth.
No.
No? Really? They're 13?
Yeah, because
they're 16 without Mana. They're 17 without Ignite.
Like I'm sure I know you guys have moved on.
Yeah,
but
they have a freaking chain with them.
The list is 7 Crusaders, a full unit of choir, a min unit of choir, and a min unit of horses.
You'll never piss someone off so bad as when you send a Repenter into like a Spriggan.
You just tear it into a hill. I did that with Sevi many times, actually. Yeah, you don't really kill him, but you put a lot of damage.
It's like you knock out the spear and the cortex, and they're like, sure.
Yeah.
But. But yeah, you could make a really, really well balanced list for Kreos. I mean, I think like TFG go really well with Holy Ward.
Absolutely.
And then you put Reclaimers in.
TFG also go really well with Ignite.
Yeah. And you can put Reclaimers in to run even more jacks. Like, there's a lot of silly stuff you can do with him.
Yeah, I think that would be the module that I'd be interested in. Food, Reclaimers, a couple lights, and a few heavies.
Mm-hmm. And Warpath.
And Warpath.
Oh, man, Warpath.
The only thing is, if you're making use of Warpath a lot, won't your choir be threatened in threatened range? So it'll be farther up the table.
If you're warpathing forward.
Pender's probably don't warpath forward an awful lot.
I would not imagine so, no.
Yeah.
Choir has to be within 3 inches to grant the buff, right?
Yeah, but they have a 6-inch advance, so oftentimes...
They're 9 inches back.
They're 9 inches back from the lines.
Yeah, and so I'm guessing they'll walk up, chant onto the jacks. The jack will walk forward, spray, kill a bunch of stuff, and then...
Warpath back.
Warpath back to where the...
Or almost full advance backwards.
Or one will walk forward and spray, and warpath the other one forward, who will then walk further forward and really get stuff you care about. Because, I mean, walking 8 inches and then dropping an 8-inch spray just gives you angles. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Wow. I'm getting giddy just thinking about it.
You got to really, really be careful of your order of activations, though, because if you warpath the jack out of choir range, you'll be sad.
Well, you do the choir first.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But yeah, no, like Keith said, Threas has a million ways to build it. Like, he can go full-on super solo, 2 units Avengers, and just, like, not even take a lot of jacks, you know? Just
march up the field himself, being like, what are you going to do? And you're like, I have no idea. I just don't know.
Die valiantly.
Arcane Assassin.
Didn't put it in perspective. It didn't put it in total perspective for me until you started talking about how he just straight kills Lich, like, without even thinking about it.
Yeah, Asphyxius on full camp is like, ha-ha, and Kreos is like, purify, ignite myself, blah, and he's just dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hot swapping ignite. Hot swapping ignite to him for free is pretty good.
After purifying.
Yeah.
Really, purification is just completely unfair.
What? No.
It's not purification. It's a once per game purification.
Actually,
that's okay.
Which is, it just goes to show how insane purification
is. It's actually, the way it is on him, it's even more unfair because you get to cast purification for free and save his focus.
Yep, and then recast all of
his
all of his
upkeeps.
Yeah.
Originally, I thought that feat wasn't that great.
I immediately thought it was good.
You know, everyone was just like, well, oh, great, I can only purification once per game instead of every turn forever.
It's more, it's subtler than I initially gave it credit for. But, yeah, it's in combination with things on him that are over the top.
And, they just make no sense.
Right. And it's just like,
be happy they didn't give him Defender's Ward.
I am happy they didn't give him Defender's Ward.
No, they could.
What this gives me hope for is that when Madrak finally rides a buffalo, he's going to be Mat 9 and he's going to be Weapon Master.
Oh, man.
And his buffalo is going to be faster than the other buffalo. It's going to have wings.
Wait, how...
buffalo wings.
I thought all buffalo had wings.
Would he Grim Salvation himself to kill his buffalo and dismount?
No, it's not a Trollkin.
Oh.
So he needs to be riding a Trollkin. Like the guy from Mad Max.
Send us your fan fiction to...
Please don't.
Speaking of new horse casters, there's a new sketch for Striker 3.
Oh, he looks so amazing.
He looks pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, the pose actually looks really sweet.
Is he on a robot horse?
Yeah, breaking through the rock wall. And...
Yeah, he's breaking through a wall, and then there's a little note next to it that's like, you know, use this as counterbalance.
Yeah.
There's
a note that says...
Yeah.
Because he's jumping. His horse is leaping over a wall, and he's also got a flag, and he's like pushing the flag forward.
Yeah, he's going to be the most unbalanced model. Yeah. It's like...
His horse looks so angry.
Why would he be pointing a flag forward?
Like, he's not pointing. Like, he's holding his flag up.
He's Irusk on a horse in mid-leap. Like, I don't know how you balance this model. I'm going to have to make the base out of lead.
Yeah. Maybe they'll just, they'll be the back half of the horse will be, like, titanium. And then the front half will be plastic or whatever.
I hope the flag is plastic.
Yeah.
That has been a disaster. Like, it risks,
yeah, if the whole thing is like, if they made the horse plastic, that would actually help.
It would be, I mean, plastic Warcasters are uncommon.
Yeah, I yeah.
Just load down the base with the Epic Strikers and Prime Strikers you're not playing.
Just take all the Prime Strikers.
Yeah, that was glorious.
That was pretty sweet.
Just throw them in a melting pot.
Nice.
Does no one else have any dojo?
Didn't you have some, Crump?
It's just Rat Dojo.
Does it involve Arcane Assassin?
It does. I was just going to talk about how much I hated Mage Hunter Strike Force.
Because they have Arcane Assassin?
Actually, when I played Red, I didn't...
I played that pig list versus Colin.
You played what?
I played that pig list, the Bushwhacker list versus Colin.
How was it?
He was playing Epic Viros, and he had... I was playing Epic Gristle.
Yeah.
And I was just talking up how much I was going to kill him with by shooting him to death.
Yeah.
And he had these two Sphinxes next to Viros for Shield Guard, you know? And so I...
Aspices, you mean, right?
Or whatever, the Shield Guard model, yeah. And so I have my first unit of Bushwhackers going. I'm like 10-man CRA and do Viros hit. You want to Shield Guard that? And he's just looking at me. He's looking at me, and he looks at Gristle, and he looks at me, and he looks at Gristle, and he goes, no. So I put like 8 damage through to him. I have the second unit go. I'm like, 10-man CRA on Viros hit. You want to Shield Guard that? It's the same sort of thing. He's like, squints his eyes. No. Put like 6 more damage through. It's just like, this is awesome.
How did you like the list?
I killed Colin top of 2. I didn't really get to play it very much.
So what was he not shield guarding for? What am I missing?
Because Gristle is a nightmare.
This was Epic Gristle.
Epic Gristle.
She's just going to yell at him.
She'll just shoot you dead.
Okay, yeah. Epic. I was thinking regular Gristle. I was like, I don't understand. But she's the one that has like the 3 different shots, right?
Yeah.
And, okay. I mean, you need to save at least 1 shield guard for her because she'll knock you down.
Okay. I gotcha.
So, I've been Red Dojoing. Don't know why. Just have. Because I am bored of Circle Dojoing, considering I know Morvana's going to come out and...
not have purification.
Change the way you look at life.
Would you say that other Retribution players are like students, and every time you sit down to Red Dojo, you think to yourself...
Yes.
Really?
How do I reach these keys?
Excellent. No, twice in one cast. I'm happy.
We're now at the park.
I'm so glad we've moved on from Signar to Rhett. Our goal is now to make them hate us as much as the Signar forms hate us.
Well, they didn't take any of the bait.
They will now.
I will admit to being horrifically disappointed.
They will now. Maybe. Mage Hunter Strike Force are awful.
I don't disagree, but we might have different reasons.
I actually agree with you. I didn't...
Here's why I think they're awful. I just compare them to Invictors. Stuff that has, like, CRA, so I can actually hit high-def things and murder them. And 2 guys doing a CRA... I don't know. Basically, I hate them because they aren't good against Hordes.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? It hits almost as hard as a Pow 10 with an additional die. A Pow 12.
Yeah, how about a 2-man CRA that's power 14?
Yeah.
At a 14-inch range.
And 1,000,000,000,000 times more likely to hit because it's a rat 8 with a reroll.
It's just 10 points of your army that is bad versus 50% of the game.
Well, it's more like 25, let's be honest. Nobody actually plays Hordes.
And they occasionally have some infantry
in there.
How many
people did you say were switching to Legion this year?
Yeah, but they have Shadow Pack, and Rhett auto loses to that caster. They have no way at all of beating her.
That's true.
Except for the swords they're getting.
Right.
The shiny new swords.
You know how you beat stealth? You stab them with an axe or a sword.
So, like...
beat stealth every time.
Colin and I were talking about Ossian, and I was... One thing about Mage Hunter Strike Force. If I take Mage Hunter Strike Force... I feel like I should take at least Mega Mittens and probably Disco to keep them alive.
Yeah, because the things you're worried about are the conquests and the galleons of the world, and they will end you.
Redeemers, adjudicators.
Yeah,
right.
You don't get to kill them if all your Mage Hunter Strike Force die to blast damage before they get the chance.
So I figured I'd just take Invictors, and they'd be just fine. And also good against things like when Colin and I were discussing today, he's like, something I was never able to solve with Rhett was the Trollbreak, because I always took, like, Mage Hunter Strike Force, and they don't do anything against the Trollbreak. And I was like, you know what it does? Invictors? You just, like, do a 4-man CRA and kill a champion.
Especially with Harm.
Right.
Invictors are the the hand cannon, like range 10, Pow 12.
Yeah, those guys.
And they've got CRA, right?
Yeah.
Do they have something else?
They flank.
They also flank. Yeah.
Warjacks.
Flank perfection. Do they have the ability where they can reroll miss CRAs?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Combined arms.
Okay. And they also have once per game mini feat, which snipe. Is snipe.
Oh, man. That's insanely good with Pow 12.
Yeah.
You do and lose some of your corner case power, like your ability to knock down the armor 24 gallon galleon or your ability to knock down the armor 24 storm walls, like, but
right, yeah, no, that arcane assassin is good. I mean, it definitely helps, but it's not.
I'm not sure that it's worth it for what you set yourself up for failure against.
Yeah, I don't know. Just every time I see Mage Hunter Strike Force on the table, and I'm playing Circle, my opponent just gets mopey. It's just like, oh, probably because 10 points of your army doesn't do anything. They just don't do enough work.
Unless you're playing, I mean, they do. They're okay if you're playing druids. Just have to roll some eights, which isn't the worst.
Right. I don't know. Just.
I mean, it's not
I don't
bad
like
as
rolling eights,
nines or tens, but it's still pretty bad.
The druids can't retaliate.
Yeah.
Right.
So the strike force just beat druids.
I don't know. I just always see Mage Hunter Strike Force on the table, and I'm not sure why. Because they.
They do seem to be put in every list.
I would rather just take Nis.
That's certainly wrong.
Is it every, like, Rhett player's, like, ultimate plan to just... Because I actually have never played against Rhett. I still haven't played against Rhett because I think the only people that play Rhett at the store do it infrequently.
Right. Like Josh Hold.
Yeah. But is it just every Rhett player's plan to just kill your caster with Mage Hunter Strike Force? Is that just what they're...
That's a pretty bad plan, but it seems common. Because, I mean, their best assassin doesn't use them.
Ron.
The best assassin in Retribution. Perhaps the best assassin in the game doesn't care at all about Mage Hunter Strike Force.
That's actually a really, really funny
point. Yeah, it's true.
He's like, I'm going to drag you out. He has usually one or two Mage Hunters in his list, and it's either the...
Assassins.
It's either the Assassins, Eris, or Narn. And it's just like, I'm just going to drag your caster out into the middle of the field, turn them around backwards, and knock them over just to embarrass them, and then I get to pick.
And then they probably died in the process of getting dragged.
Yeah, I mean, if you got knocked down and shot by Eris before you started getting dragged, you died in the transit. But if he's dragging you in to shoot you with Eris, you might live from your focus camp through all those boosted Pow 10s and live to get hit by the...
Mage Hunter Assassin.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or Eris and the other unit of Mittens.
Yeah. I just have never understood why that unit sees so much play.
Or the Phoenix.
Because they don't seem worth 10 points.
The reason why that unit sees so much play is it's sort of idiot-proof. You don't have to have line of sight. You ignore all buffs.
Phantom Hunter is pretty...
Yeah, you ignore concealment and cover, right?
I think so.
Yes. Yeah, stealth.
I mean, the combination of Phantom Hunter and Arcane
stealth.
Assassin in the same unit.
They just ignore everything.
They
like, it's just
stealth.
They are versus something. Whatever your base is.
They're just really easy to play.
Yeah.
That,
I mean, there's something to be said for that. Like,
no, it's... Yeah. I mean, they're just... And when they're good, they can be really, really good.
Yeah.
But they're often not good. Like, the worst thing in the world is for somebody to sit down with Trollbloods, and you're just like, oh, God.
I love it when they're... What's the base armor on that guy? 19, but he's 21 versus you. Well, I ignore it. Nope, it's not a spell.
Yeah. They're not... they have some value against Trollbloods if you're playing Raven.
Because they can snipe out the Creel
Stone. They can snipe out the Creel Stone.
That's true.
But even then...
I don't like Raven.
What's Creel Stone's armor, 16?
They have to roll 6s and 6s.
What's it?
15. 6s and 6s. Boosted 6s, assuming they're feeding.
Yeah.
I also don't like Raven a lot.
No.
She doesn't seem like a very good caster.
She's middle of the road. I mean, she has a
cool trick.
Veil of Mists and a one-trick pony, pretty
much.
Yeah, I'd
say she's
Snipe.
Like
Snipe's her spell, her real spell.
Yeah.
Right.
Snipe is good.
She's
a... I would say she's like a second or third tier caster.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately...
She's got some
down.
Really, really good matchups, but for the most part, she's just sort of...
Ron
ultimately, she has a
feat caster.
That's not as good as Deadeye.
I'm looking into...
which is... Hilarious.
I'm looking into playing, if I'm able to get Collins Red, Kalissa, Epic Virus, Ron, are probably my main three.
What? I'll bet you $1 that Crump doesn't ever end up playing a game of Red.
I'll bet you $2.
No. They're insufferable. What can I say?
Right?
I don't think that means what you think it means. I'm pleasant.
Kalissa might be, I'm not really up to date with the group think at this point, but at one point, Kalissa was badly underrated.
I think they've come around. Okay. I haven't been on the red forums for a while, but
she's got a solid spell list, solid gun, solid feet.
And she ignores stealth.
Problem solved.
Vyros 2 is pretty strong.
I agree.
And, yeah. Anyway, we don't need to get too much into red. Did you have a list? I forgot already.
He hasn't said it yet.
I was just talking about how I hate Mage Hunter Strike Force.
Talk about red. All the lists dojo here.
About Mage Hunter Strike Force lists, red.
I mean, I built an Assign list, but it looks like every other Assign list minus Mage Hunter Strike Force. So
that's actually one caster I might take it with. Maybe.
Just to shoot a Colossal off the table?
At this point in time, yes, because of the Colossals. I'm not sure forever, but at this point in time, yes. I mean, in this current meta, I think Ossian is a perfectly, if you're going to play the Strike Force, he's a perfectly acceptable place to play them.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll just laugh at that.
Kalissa also.
But I mean,
well, the Mountain King is virtually unkillable, too.
The thing that Ossie and
this is what we've learned.
Established.
Ossie plus Mage Hunter Strike Force just straight scares your opponent out of a lot of lists. There's a lot of lists that are just like, nope, can't put that down.
That's true, actually.
Just E-Haley double Stormwall? Sweet.
Oh, my God.
It's almost stronger to not ever play that list and just write it down.
Yeah, you can just write it down and play your other list.
Unless you're forced to play both.
Right. Well, I mean, you may look at somebody and they're like, all right, I have my, double Colossal list and my single Colossal list. You're like, sweet, my list is good. It's perfectly fine because I just get to automatically remove a Colossal. I automatically get 20 points on you, so yay.
In the Signar matchup, you got to watch out for those gun mages.
Yeah, no, they're bad.
I might play the game with Haley against Ossian.
You have to get the gun mages out in front of your jacks then?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if this is a good plan.
Well, it depends on what else is in Ossian's list. If you brought anything that can actually touch them. Because if there's no Invictors, you're not going to shoot the gun mages to death.
True.
Doesn't he give boosted attack and boosted damage?
No,
it's just boosted damage.
Raven's got boosted attack.
And it's not boosted damage, right? It's additional die.
Less damage die.
Indeed. I always forget about
attacks.
Yep.
Everybody forgets about that. Most Ossian players forget about that.
Every once in a while, it becomes really relevant.
The two times I played against, or maybe just one time I played against Colin with Ossian, I shot him to death with my battle engine on his speed turn. Just mathematically impossible.
Cheater.
But
yeah, so you're bragging about cheating. Way to go. How's he going to get through to these kids? Maybe stop cheating so much so he gets...
No, I got to teach them the white person method.
Stack the deck.
I misinterpreted the rules.
Posh-ridden blankets. We'll trade. Anyway.
Is that a wrap? Are we in wrap mode?
Mostly.
Oh. Sorry.
There's one more thing I want to say.
One more thing you want to say.
Yeah. 851 likes on Facebook.
Yes.
Good job, everybody.
Yes.
Woohoo!
How many does Chain Attack have?
Like 897, not that I'm counting or looking.
They had over 900.
I haven't looked for a couple days.
Can Muse on Minis achieve 1,000 likes on Facebook?
Almost 90 more likes than we do.
Yeah.
This is unacceptable.
Thanks, fans.
Just to goes to show how much people love battle reports. More battle report podcasts.
No, I think if we actually killed battle reports altogether, we'd get more likes.
I have an idea.
People seem to like it.
No.
I don't think they actually like it. I think they like to hear us in pain. I think that's what they like.
Oh. I do kind of like to watch Crump's face when other people are saying battle reports.
Yeah.
That's kind of
fun. Same for all of us.
you are the most expressive in your dislike of the battle report.
Exactly.
That's because they're so
sometimes
excellent.
You hear Keith ramming the microphone against his head.
Yep.
That's true.
Yeah, because Keith is always like staring at the ceiling.
Yeah.
And he just has that why God look on his face. But anyway, please like us on Facebook. We would very much appreciate it. Help us catch those Chain Attack guys. If you would like to unlike Chain Attack, I'd be okay with this plan too.
We're just breaking out the dirty tactics now.
It's not dirty.
Don't tell them.
No, you can tell them. You can tell them I said so too.
You just when you unlike them, say,
It's not you. It's Muse on Many.
They've got more likes on Facebook than we do. Like, we don't want to pull out these guns, I don't think.
Yeah, anyway.
What if they turn the tactic around?
What?
That doesn't happen.
This is a downward spiral, actually. Nobody can win. Yeah. So
dislike everything.
This is mutually assured destruction.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So here's the deal. Here's the deal. Go unlike them on Facebook, but not because we told you to.
Guerrilla tactics.
Yeah. No, it's
how is that?
It's good for you not to like chain it. No, actually, I love those guys. You should like them too, actually. But yeah, so also we are looking for more contributors at Muse. We've been a little light on articles lately.
Yeah.
So if you have something you'd like, if you have a blog, for example, and like to cross post on Muse, I would be more than happy to host you. We're always looking for more content to put up. The nice thing is the way that Muse works, at least in my mind, is
not on the actual internet.
No, the way that I'd like to see it work is people. A lot of the reason, well, that's not the only reason, but a lot of the reason why people write things or put things out is they want people to see them or share their ideas. So if people are sharing ideas through Muse, then it becomes a destination for people. So more eyeballs sort of naturally matriculate to the site. Probably bad use of a word there. That's okay.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm going to allow this.
It's one of your less egregious uses of words. So.
This is true. But I want Muse to be a situation that creates like an everybody win situation where the more stuff we publish on Muse, the more eyeballs we draw, the more incented people are to write stuff on Muse, the more – and it sort of creates an upward spiral where we create more traffic for people. So it's good for everybody involved. So if you have something and you want to share your ideas with the world, you know, give us a holler. We'll be glad to publish you. We're, like I said, we're always looking for cool stuff and stuff to share.
Absolutely.
Follow us on Twitter.
Yep.
Chirp. At Muse on Minis.
Did we mention like us on Facebook and not those dirty chain fat guys?
Do we have anything else? That's it, right?
Yeah. And for those of you interested in – we'll mention it again. For those of you interested in perhaps traveling to Belgium this October, self-nominations for the World Team Championship, Team USA are open. Go to museonminis.com/forums. Click on the World Team Championship forum, and then there's a thread, self-nominations. Give us your name. A list of why you believe that you and Team USA should be one and the same.
Yeah, come rep your country. We need you.
USA, USA, USA.
Foreigners cannot beat us at War Machine. That's all I'm saying.
It's an American game.
America.
I've heard the Germans are very good.
America cannot lose at War Machine.
That's a bold statement.
Cannot be permitted.
What happens if America loses? It's probably going to be my fault.
World War III.
We'll probably all have to go on a diet.
We won't be the land of plenty anymore.
Exactly.
We lost a War Machine.
Yep.
Break out the – what are those stamp books? ration
oh,
books.
Oh, yeah, yeah, ration books. We will no longer be fat Americans if we lose.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I'll still be fat.
Well, you're a fat Asian.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, nerds. We're never going to be Olympians. We're never going to – we'll probably avoid military service like the plague.
Speak for yourself.
So in as far as repping our country goes.
One of us actually spent a year in Iraq, just saying.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Olympics.
The Olympics.
I was going to say, John, you're not a 14-year-old Chinese girl.
I was expecting John to compete in ribbon dancing. That's all I want to say.
Hey. I could bound.
Do one bound right now. Show me your bound.
No, I don't. I don't want stuff to break.
Also, we are now hosting, I think, 6 podcasts over at Muse on Mini. So
got the Crippled Systems, the Road to War, the Epic FM, the Occasional Musineer Chronicles,
Team Atlanta, and our podcast,
and Muse
on Minis.
Yep. So there's actually quite a variety. There's a lot of differences between
podcasts for every day of the week.
Yep.
Minus Sunday.
That's the Lord's Day. You don't podcast on the Lord's Day.
It's actually interesting. I was just – I just had a thought occur to me about our podcasts. They all sort of reside on a scale of like focus to fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some are more focused and some are more goofy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like,
where are we?
Right in the middle.
I think we're pretty close to the center.
Yes.
Like Crippled System is way off on one side.
Yeah, and Road to War is on the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll leave it up to you guys to determine who's on what side.
But start a poll in the forums.
Who's the most fun podcast? Who's the mostest?
You know who you better vote for, or the forums get turned off.
Oh man! All right. So this has been a thing, right?
Yeah.
This has been Fat Asian,
Keith,
Chad,
Josh,
and Crump. Help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered.